the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
goddamn is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Germans call it Waldsterben, meaning death of the forests. All over the world, large wooded areas, once lush and green, are now sickly and gray. Seeking reasons for this dramatic decline, scientists, including a group from NASA, have been studying the problem on Camel's Hump Mountain in Vermont. This photograph was taken from Camel's Hump in 1963. Here's what this same area looked like 20 years later. To find out why, NASA researchers have been gathering samples of dying trees on various parts of the mountain.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah, look at the chlorosis on this one.
These samples, bagged and labeled in the field will later be analyzed in area laboratories. One theory why forests are dying is what's popularly referred to as acid rain. Pollutants caused by the burning of fossil fuels get into the atmosphere, are moved around our planet by air currents, and fall back to Earth in the rain, absorbed by plants and trees. Based on their analysis of the samples collected on Camel's Hump, NASA scientists are not convinced that acid rain is the sole cause of the problem. But they do think it's a factor. Dr. Barry Rock explained.
Some rainfall measurements on Camel's Hump have been just horrendous. We're approaching vinegar, we're approaching battery acid in terms of the acidity. Certainly that's got to have some effect on vegetation.
Specially equipped aircraft and satellites are also being used in the investigation to produce imagery of the study sites. Because the health of a plant or tree determines how it shows up in these images, they provide a very accurate way of discovering, mapping, and monitoring damaged areas. NASA scientists now plan to use even more advanced airborne instruments to detect the very first stages of forest decline before it becomes obvious.
Then we have some hope of being able to treat the patient before it is terminally ill.
Small Vermont sawmills and the worldwide lumber industry in general could soon begin feeling the impact of Bolshevik. But as Dr. Rock points out, the problem really goes beyond economic concerns.
The spruce trees on Camel's Hump and in the Black Forest are very sensitive indicators of stress, and they may well end up being the canary in the mine shaft. And since we can't easily get out of our particular mine shaft, we're going to have to start looking at means of improving the atmospheric conditions.
NASA's damage assessment effort, looking at the trees to save the forests.
So what's killing the oak trees? That's what a Midtown Tulsan wants to know.
News on 6 reporter Rick Wells got in touch with an arborist to see if there were any easy answers. What he found out is new this evening.
This Midtown Tulsa neighborhood has lots of large, beautiful trees. Many of the folks who live here say the trees, well, it's the reason they moved in.
So that's what makes this all so pretty.
Peggy Schrader says she's lost several big oak trees. Just lost another one in the front yard. She's worried about the rest.
I think what's alarming, and to a lot of my friends who live around here, is the fact that they're dying so fast.
A crew from All Seasons Lawn Care was working in the neighborhood. The crew chief said this has been a tough year for trees.
So this isn't the only one then, probably?
No, no, sir.
So it's okay.
Well, after I talked to Peggy, I called Tim Knoll, a certified arborist with We Be Trees. I was looking for a simple answer.
Well, this one's simple here. It's got hypoxylin canker.
I said, what?
Say it slowly again, sir.
Hypoxylin canker.
Hypoxylin?
I'm not sure. Exactly how you spell
like
it. But
actually, it's H-Y-P-O-X-Y-L-O-N canker, C-A-N-K-E-R. It's like a fungus. He says there's no real cure for it. It attacks damaged and otherwise stressed trees. The bad news? The stuff spreads. The homeowner's dilemma, every time they see limbs with no leaves or brown leaves on green trees, they think, there goes another one.
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
The tree guy said the only real prevention is keep the trees healthy. It's worrisome.
Everyone is concerned. A, it's expensive to take them out. B, you can't really, you cannot replace them.
Big oak trees take decades to grow. What's killing the trees? Well, we got the simple answer, just no simple solution. Rick Wells, the News on 6.
Tim Knoll says a soil analysis could determine what nutrients are missing, which might help keep those existing trees healthy.
We get calls daily, some irate, some very understanding.
But everyone's worried about what's killing their trees.
I mean, we have one property that has almost 70 trees affected.
Mostly evergreens turning brown and brittle when they should be thriving. The cause? Many say an herbicide called Imprelis that's attacking these majestic beauties right alongside those pesky weeds.
This is a cutting from the tip of a pine tree that has had some apparently some Imprelis damage.
The Ohio State Agriculture Extension in Lorain County has been studying the issue. Imprelis is a new chemical made and distributed by DuPont, sold only to commercial landscaping companies.
It's supposed to take care of broadleaf weeds in the turf. It's especially for some of the more difficult to control weeds. The unintended consequences are that it seems to be causing some damage to pines and spruces.
Thousands of trees are sick and dying across seven states. A Pennsylvania tree farm just lost 1,600.
Very, very serious issue.
Attorney John Climaco is representing some of the property owners in a class action lawsuit.
Ohio appears to be the epicenter of the damage.
Thursday, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced an order to DuPont directing the company to immediately halt the sale, use, and distribution of Imprelis. The EPA is investigating the product and possible product misuse. DuPont responded saying, in light of recent reports of tree damage related to the use of Imprelis, we are conducting ongoing broad scientific and stewardship reviews of our data, label directions, and scientific analysis and sharing that information with the EPA. DuPont says they're committed to making things right with their customers, like Joe Chiera, president of Impact Landscaping and Irrigation.
Everyone's coming back at us saying, why are you killing our trees? And so, definitely has put us in the middle.
Delivering a financial blow. Trees can cost thousands to replace. Insurance covers some but not all. And to make matters worse, Joe says they've been told not to pull the trees because some might break through and recover next year.
It's really frustrating to a lot of our accounts where this is happening because now they have properties that have dying trees on them, right, and they want it taken care of now.
But some trees just can't be replaced that quickly.
Our client here has 20-foot trees. And the, you know.
All right, what you see behind me is a cedar tree and it's dead, okay? And when I moved here, see, it's totally dead. Totally. I mean, like dead, right? Okay? When I moved here, it was bright, beautiful green like the top of this tree, right? Now, there are several of them in a row here, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 trees. That's the seventh tree. Okay, now last year it caught something. It caught something that caused it to start to look like this tree looks right now. See that brown? All right. And demonstration. Same thing. Okay? Now I say that because in 1 year it went from looking like that, mostly green, to that. All right, now what this blight is doing, it's not getting just the next tree. It got every single tree here in a row. All right? You see brown on that. You can see it on that one right there. You see it on that one right there. There's a little boy voice yelling. See that? But the same thing. It's attacked every single tree. Now, okay, we can say this is an isolated incident, right? But the fact is that I pay attention to trees now. I pay attention to lots of things that a lot of people don't. And I know I mentioned it to some other guys who work with trees. I guess I should back out. I'm probably all up in your face, huh? Look, who work with trees, and they've been noticing the same thing as they've been out working. All right? So we have a blight on the cedar trees in Springfield and Eugene, and it's a blight that takes the whole line out within a 2-year to 3-year period. This is not good. This is not good. All these trees are going to be dead next year, gone, because of that one tree right there. All right, Eugene, Springfield, take a look at the blight on the cedar trees.
Thursday, July 2nd, it's around, I don't know, 8 a.m. I'm just doing a follow-up I did yesterday on the question, is geoengineering aerosol spray destroying our trees? Here's another tree with all this green fungus type stuff on it. You can see it's very pronounced over here. But I just bear with me. I want to take you on a quick tour around my building to show you. That tree there has nothing on it. I don't know. This is a different type of tree. I know nothing about trees. But and we're just going to come. I want to just a few more seconds. I'm going to bring you down. This tree here has nothing on it. But I walked down the side street, the next one over to this, and I walked partially down the street, And almost every single one of these big trees has this green fungus all over it. And I'm going to show you one here that's on my street here. This guy here is just a mess. Look at this. Look at this. What is all that crap on there? That Kafka Winston World has a good video out about this, but this is bizarre. What is all that crap on there? If I walk down the street here, maybe I'll do one more tree. But I could walk down the street here, and almost every single one of these big trees that have been here for years are all covered with this green crap. This one's here is not as pronounced, but it still has that green crap all over it. You can see there, it's got that green fungus all over it. Every single tree, if I walk down the whole damn block, I wonder if this is the trees responding to all the toxic aerosol spraying. It makes sense. You know, this is very slowly. Okay, one last one. We're going to go across the street here just to give you a fourth example. This guy here, I can see from across the street, it's got all that green stuff all over it. You can see all that green fungus there. Whatever that crap is. But yeah, this is very scary. I walk partway down the block and every single large tree is covered with this crap. And a lot of them, the bark is really peeling. And you can see there's all kind of holes and insects and stuff getting in and rotting away at the tree. So this is another aspect. No focus on the sky today. Just focusing on what the fallout from the sky is doing to our trees. This is really, really scary. I didn't notice this. That was an important video she put out. I hope this will wake up some people. There's no proof that the spray is doing this, and that's the difficult thing. You can't prove. It's just like trying to prove where your cancer came from. But we know they're spraying stuff on us, and it is having an effect. They're saying it's ruining the soil, it's ruining the land, and here, in my opinion, it looks like it's ruining the trees, and some of the trees are more resistant to it, but not these. Whatever type of tree this is, somebody might know, but nobody knows what kind of tree this is. But they're all different kind of trees, but they're big trees. They're all trees that have been here for 20, 30 years. So maybe some of you have an answer.
People feel how hot surfaces are in the sun, how intense the sun feels. They convince themselves it's all normal because the agencies don't tell them anything else is wrong. They assume they would be told if there was something wrong. This is a very naive notion. This is a manzanita bush, a juvenile, and you see how the ends, the tips of the new growth look like they've been hit with a torch. This most hardy species of brush, a manzanita plant, they're dying throughout the forest. Whole mature organisms 10 feet high are flashing out dead. This is an extremely hardy brush species. It looks like it's been hit with a torch. These are new juvenile leaves. You can see they already look like they've been hit with a torch as well. Several that are shaded right here. This small little batch of leaves maybe is slightly shaded. It's not curling up, looking fried yet. We've had 40 plus inches of rain here in the last 2+ months. It has nothing to do with drought. This is an extremely hardy, drought-resistant species. This is excessive UV. Also, we have fungal issues happening with these plants now because the bioavailable metals kill soil microbes. That allows fungal proliferation. Of the 200 species of plant and animal a day that we were losing to extinction, 70 to 80% are fungally related. Same as the human body. If you kill off the beneficial organisms, the beneficial microbes, fungus infection ensues. When people take antibiotics, they typically get fungal infections. Nature's no different. This is a slightly larger specimen of manzanita. If you look at the whole tree, it certainly does not look healthy because it's not healthy. And you see it's not flowering. This plant is horrifically affected from the excessive UV, from the bioavailable metals in the rain, which kill soil microbes, has an effect on the root systems. This is a main source of food for forest animals. These flowers produce berries. Turkeys, bear, and many other species rely on this as a food source. They have no food. When this is the most a plant can produce, a couple small pods of flowers, there's nothing for the animals to eat. This is happening throughout the forest. steep, steep decline, even with normally very hardy specimens like this manzanita. Here's more species of manzanita. This is a silverleaf manzanita. You see smaller plants in front with the very discolored leaves. That's fungal infection. As the bioavailable metals are killing soil microbes, changing soil pHs, changing forest soil compositions, it has a horrific domino effect. Although Forest Service and USDA foresters will not admit to this implosion that's happening in the forest, it's absolutely happening. And you see even in the background, even whole specimens, mature specimens of manzanita that flash out stone dead black from fungal infection. So this mature species, stone dead, the fungal ailment that is affecting so many of the silverleaf manzanita, this tree has succumbed to it. But if you look a little bit past, here's a tree that has not yet completely succumbed to this, still putting out some flowers, but much less crown on this tree. All the trees have much less crown than they had only a few years ago. They can't take the excessive UV, so their foliage starts to decrease, dead branches start to appear, they can't leaf as well, they can't flower as well. They're simply trying to survive the exposure to the excessive UV. So some plants are stronger than others, some individual organisms stronger than others, but we're seeing a huge percentage flash out stone dead throughout the forest. This is another larger specimen of black oak. It's mid-February, it's already leafing out. It's 2 months ahead of when it should be leafing out. The leaves last fall stayed on the trees, and in late November, December, when a certain series of rains comes, we've seen this the last 4 years, all the leaves on the deciduous trees wad up dead, but still hang on the tree. As you see lower down on this tree, that's what we have. It appears to us as if some sort of defoliant is included in the aerosol spray mix, and we know fruit farmers have been using this type of method to cause their orchards to go dormant for years. This is because the temperatures have been rising so progressively. 5 years ago, we saw the deciduous trees still fully leafed with green leaves going clear into January. Now we see fully foliated native oak trees with stone dead leaves that hang on the trees all winter long. And as you see with this tree, the new leaves are coming out 2 months early while dead leaves are still hanging on the tree and have been all winter. You can see the topography in the background. It's quite steep here, and we're northeast of Redding, California. So even in these drought years, we still have what would be considered by most standards a fairly high degree of rainfall because of orographic enhancement. We're a couple thousand feet higher than Redding. And the way the storms usually move up the Central Valley, it wrings the moisture out when it hits this higher topography. It's called orographic enhancement. So for these manzanita trees to be dying, The drought certainly is an effect, but not the key effect, because manzanita can survive in conditions with a third the rainfall we're getting even now here in the drought-stricken years. We've had about 40 inches in this location so far this year. But now we're seeing, because the storms are not the normal low-pressure counterclockwise circulation that we've historically seen, and we know the aerosolization is going on because the lab tests prove this, the precipitation is full of the same toxic metals listed in geoengineering patents. So we're not seeing the same orographic effect that we would normally have historically seen, where in this location we get about 2.25 times the rain Redding gets. If Redding, California gets 33 inches, we get about 70 here. We don't see that discrepancy anymore. We get maybe 40 or 50% more. So the aerosolization has an effect on the rain. But with the plants, the organisms, the trees, we know in these locations here, I've been here with USDA soil scientists testing soil pHs. We have the USDA background studies, so we have a solid baseline, and we know the soil pHs here in this region have changed 10 to 12 times toward alkaline in the last 10 years. Those are astounding changes. The effect on the organisms is clear. Again, not only do we have the pH changes, but we have the microorganisms that are being killed from the bioavailable metals. We know the effect of the bioavailable metals on the root systems. With many organisms, it causes them to stop nutrient uptake, so they start to die a slow death. We know we have excessive UV now. Again, the forest ecosystem is imploding. The lack of wildlife here is very evident. It's virtually silent here in a forest that was thriving only 10 years ago. So again, the geoengineering assault from every direction is completely thwarting the web of life here in the boreal forest of Northern California. This is a native black oak. This is a mixed hardwood and conifer forest that we're in right now. this tree, the Cambrian layer has been completely fried off the tree from the base of the trunk to the tips. All the branches that are exposed to the south-southwest side, the Cambrian layer is virtually fried off the tree. This was one of the most canopied areas in this particular canyon, and now it's an open canopy. The sun comes right through. The trees are dropping their foliage, and they're just flashing out dead. You see the tree in the foreground? That's a large Doug fir just flashed out dead. Again, the ones around it are losing foliage. That fir is in the process of dying. It's thinning out, dropping needles. Branches are being let go. As you look at the fir on the right as well, you see his branches are gnarling. You see some dead branches sticking out. Foliage is very thin. Go to the far right tree, you see another dead branch sticking out of him. He's in the process of dying. All these trees are dying in one of the most shaded, sheltered, wet areas in the canyons north of Redding and east of Lake Shasta. Firs are dying all over Shasta County, Siskiyou County. The agencies are not talking about it. They're not admitting to it. Their job is to hide it. The typical cobweb-like aerosol, wispy clouds. People mistake this for some sort of natural cloud. They're absolutely not. So we live under a toxic canopy. Everything that they spray in the atmosphere comes down. These trees that we see the tops of here are all dying, and these trees have their feet in the water. We're near the stream right now, so you see the tops are all dying from the excessive UV, and we know some of the trees that get the most water are dying the fastest because they're also getting the most toxins, where the toxic materials accumulate in the drainage areas. It's extremely alarming to see the decline at the rate we're seeing it here in the forest. We are now being told that the climate engineers want to start using the terms albedo enhancement or cloud reflectivity enhancement. They don't want to use the term geoengineering any longer because people are waking up to that term. It seems that the effort to try to deceive and confuse the population as to what's going on in the skies above their heads continues, and the whole of academia is helping to hide what can only be described as crimes against humanity, crimes against nature, not just ecocide or genocide, but omnicide, the destruction of all life on Earth. And that's literally what's happening from these programs. Whatever the intent, the result is the same. And for us on the ground, it amounts to biological warfare as well. We know we are breathing what they are spraying. And the fact that they don't point that out should be alarming to a population that is being exposed to what they're spraying.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. I got my buddy Steve over here. And if you've been listening in for the last part of the show here, you've been hearing a lot of different talk about trees dying off. I just kind of recently became aware of all the trees dying off when I was at my father-in-law's house about a few days back. We heard this big old loud crackle and a boom, and one of the really seriously large trees on his property just up and fell over. And I was like, man, what the heck is going on? I start looking around at the leaves, because I'd already noticed there was a problem prior to this, because his cherry trees were developing this weird fungus on the side of the trees. And what were normally healthy cherry trees that produced a whole lot of fruit year after year, I mean, these trees have been here for quite some time, and they were always growing. Now there's only like a portion of the tree left that, for some reason, because he's got pretty decent soil around his property, because it's always been well maintained, he's been able to save the tree to some extent. Doesn't mean that it isn't going to go ahead and die, because it still has that fungus on the side of it. But either way, it's not just one specific breed of tree or species, whichever was the right terminology for that. It's oaks, it's maples, it's evergreens, and cherry trees, and just they're all over the place. He's lost a whole lot of trees in the last year on 360 acres. And that's, like I said, it's almost, it's over 100 miles away from me. And so I took a sample from one of his leaves to bring back to my property to see if what I was seeing on his property matched on mine, which it did. It literally looks like on the leaves, and I posted some videos in the Shaziz Radio chat room and over on the Awake Radio chat room, and there's one particular video in there. Let me see if I can figure out which one it is. I think it's one says chemtrails are killing the trees. I think that's the one that is in there. You could actually see the type of damage that that I'm seeing here on my property. And it's really got me alarmed because I haven't, you know, as long as I've been out here, I've been on this property for about 15 years, and I've never seen what I've seen going on around here. I mean, we've had ice storms that's taken down tree limbs and made a mess out of things, and, you know, normal dying off of trees, you know, just your normal natural occurrences, but this is beyond all of that. And I walked around with a video camera, might be able to put a little video out to show you, but there's other things occurring out here that are, you know, in my mind, odd. Like, well, for instance, one day I'm out mowing my lawn. I always try to keep it down and looking nice, you know, and all that. And I started seeing this stuff falling out of the sky, and I couldn't figure out what the heck it was. It almost looked like cotton, you know, little fibers. And it just pretty much covered all the grass and all the leaves and stuff. And, you know, at first I thought maybe it could be just something like those old cattails that whenever you pull them apart, it looks like cotton inside there that carries little seeds around. But it was something similar to that, but it just wasn't the same. So either way, whatever's going on my property, apparently I did a little bit of research, it's going on all over the place, all over the world. I don't know if it's on your property, if you people out there listening in can go out there and take a really good look at your trees and see if you see anything out of the ordinary, such as what looks like a literally chemical burns right through the leaves. I had thought, because whenever it was raining so much out here and all the moisture setting on the leaves, you know, when the sun comes out, because it gets extremely hot out here as well, it's like extremes. One day it's raining like heck, and the next day it's hotter than heck outside. I thought that maybe some of the moisture on the leaves had been sitting there, some of the raindrops had been sitting there, and like the Fresno lens effect, it, as the sun's beating down through there, it was literally burning holes through the leaves. But I'm starting to wonder what in the heck is going on. We know that they spray stuff in the skies. I mean, there's companies out there that advertise that they do geoengineering or weather modification and stuff like that. I mean, if you're in business that long, then apparently you must be doing something. And so, you know, with that said, I feel like this is something that the world as a community needs to get a grip on, because we start losing all of our trees, or even some of the plant lives that any of the plant lives for that matter, but for the most part, plants that animals are eating, you know, it's a food chain deal. It's all going to collapse at this rate. What I've been seeing out here, I mean, I hope to have some trees next year, or even the year after that. I hope that nature can bounce back from whatever's going on. But if these folks are indeed spraying stuff out there, which I seriously believe that they are, I mean, it's kind of hard to hide. They're not natural clouds up there. I did a video quite some time back called Poison Skies, where I pointed out watching the planes go back and forth and putting trails down. You know, and that's not normal flight patterns. But, you know, they'll call you a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy nut for talking about chemtrails. Well, if they're not going on, then tell me what's going on with these trees. Is it pesticides? Is it fracking? Is it the chemicals they put down in the ground to try to get natural gas to release, or oil or whatever? Something's happening. it's either killing the trees from the ground up or it's killing the trees from the sky down. Something out there is doing some serious damage to nature, and you know, I believe that nature's resilient. Nature can bounce back, but it's kind of like the old fishbowl effect. If ain't nothing cleaning the water up, the fish is going to end up dying. And so with that said, if they're continuing to geoengineer for whatever purpose, the so-called global warming scam or whatever, for whatever reason, they're spraying those chemicals, it's too much going on. It's too much for nature to bounce back from. It's getting alarming. Now, I've got trees that have fruits on them, and the fruits aren't even larger than a silver dollar. I've got grapevines with little brown marks on them that look like they've been chemically burned, where the grapes normally be harvested in around about August. They're ripening too early. And they're rotten right off the vine. Before they ever even get fully ripened, they just rot. I've seen, we're trying to grow gardens out here with tomatoes and other plants out there, and I just watch as the tomato plant just turns brown and everything wilts over as if, you know, it was over-fertilized or something. And so, you know, if you can't grow your own food, and you can't buy your own food, you know, eventually you got to see that there's common sense that you got a problem, and I believe we seriously do have a problem. You know, I'm not into fear mongering or trying to be an alarmist or anything, but you know, I'm seeing this in my neighborhood. I'm seeing it in my father-in-law's neighborhood, who lives at over 100 miles from where I'm at, and if I'm seeing this damage on my place and his place, and we've got tree limbs that are just wilting over and breaking off, and trees literally falling over. I mean, we've seen huge trees that have been around for a long time, perfectly healthy one year, and the next year they just flat out fall over. You got any ideas there?
Are you talking about the trees that have been there longer than the colony? America.
Yeah, probably so. But it's
trees are wonderful,
man.
I mean, trees have given us an understanding of gravity. They've given us somewhere to carve our girlfriends' names. They've given us clothes, eating utensils, cooking utensils. I mean, you name it. Trees are awesome.
Yeah, there's so much benefits from the trees. I mean, just simply the shade alone, you know, and the life-giving oxygen and such. You know, I can't understand if these guys are supposedly scientists, and they're supposedly as educated as they are, somebody would have to know that this isn't a good thing to be spraying stuff in the air. And we already know that in history, if you go back to like the Vietnam War and the whole Agent Orange story, well, the whole purpose of what came about for the Agent Orange was they were trying to literally defoliate the land so that the people wouldn't have any place to hide out in the jungle. And that's a true story.
Well, that's in the days before they had drones, where they could have a 19-year-old in a trailer park in Los Angeles bombing people at Pakistani weddings.
Yeah. Well, either way, not only did they spray chemicals to kill off the wildlife, the trees and stuff like that, so people wouldn't have any place to hide, but they were also
hugely carcinogenic.
Yeah, and people—that's where the whole Agent Orange thing came around. People were getting really sick from Agent Orange. Well, not only did they do that, but they were actually seeding clouds, trying to get it to rain. I think they called it the Ho Chi Minh Trail or something like that, trying to get it to rain as much as possible to literally make it impossible for the enemy to be able to travel at least comfortably, you know, because it would be too doggone muddy to go anywhere.
Well, the general idea was for large equipment, if it was bogged down in mud, it wasn't going to travel very far. And it was to basically keep all of the heavy artillery outside, out of the cities and in wherever it was kind of currently being hidden. But a couple of things that we need to be aware of. Most plants require about 16 elements. There's nitrogen, potassium and phosphate are the three key elements that most, not every, but most plants need for healthy growth. And there's 13 trace elements. Now, if there's a deficiency in any of these elements, even the trace elements, it can cause the structure of the plant to fail. I mean, some of the trace elements will give structure to cell walls. There'll be certain encouragements towards the building of enzymes, all sorts of various different things. But, I mean, if these guys are right, that they're spraying something in the atmosphere that's coming down on top of the plants, if it is something along the lines of barium sulfide and aluminium, well, for a start, aluminium is a natural product, and it's actually created by acid rain, believe it or not. Because if you go for the chemical formula of acid rain, it's basically, what do we call it? Hydrogen and carbon.
Yeah, that's
fine. So it's H2CO3. As hydrogen and carbon mix in the atmosphere, they bond together and they come down as acid rain. And that's what turns mountains into pebbles. And that's been going on for millions of years. Now, when I was at school in the 1980s and we did our European Studies project, they were kind of concerned about man's impact on pumping all of this hydrogen and carbon into the atmosphere, mostly from smokestacks, from factories and things like that, by burning fossil fuels. And I guess they probably had a point that we need to monitor and be aware of what we're putting into the atmosphere, because it can come back and bite us on the backside. But when, if there's actually pumping chemicals into the atmosphere under geoengineering, whatever fancy name they want to call it, it's like calling Al-Qaeda ISIS. Well, you know, a dog's a dog's a dog. I mean, you can say, oh, well, that's a quadrupedal life form. It's still a dog. You can change the name as many times as you like. It's still, it is what it is. And I'm kind of seriously worried when trees are literally falling over.
Yeah, Stephen Gibbons posted some really good links inside the chat room. JustClouds.com was one of them, but he also had WeatherModification.com, and there's a couple other links over there. I'd like to, somebody, if they could, copy them and paste them over into the Awake Radio chat room so they can check them out as well. But I have literally seen trees just flat out fall over, man. And I'm like, you know, that's not natural. You know, I could understand in drought where the ground had the, you know, or erosion or something like that, but it's almost as if whatever's under the ground, you know, from the, it's all going to go, you know, if they're spraying it in the air, it's all going to get washed down into soil anyway. But, you know, whether it's coming from the top or the bottom is neither here nor there. The fact is, when you got what would normally be perfectly healthy trees falling over, you know.
Well, here's a couple of things that you need to take into consideration as well, is your water quality. I mean, if you've got crusty elements around your faucets and your shower heads, it probably means your water's too hard, which means there's too many dissolved solids in your water supply. Now, if you've got trees that are falling over, the first thing I'd do is to find some sterilized container, open it up when it starts raining, collect the rainwater straight out of the sky where it hasn't touched anything on the way, and get it down to a lab and get it analyzed as quickly as possible. Because if they are pumping chemicals into the atmosphere to reflect the sun, which is kind of crazy to be perfectly honest,
yeah,
you're going to know pretty much what's in that water supply. You're going to have to go to an independent lab, because any government lab that starts seeing things like that, you're going to get visits from people in fancy dress outfits with dark sunglasses and unmarked vehicles.
Yeah, and ironically enough, the Environmental Protection Agency must be working for the dark side or something, because they're not doing their job, that's for sure.
No.
You know, if... I got to find a lab around here, or I got to find some individuals who's just as concerned as I am, that know some people who know some people in universities or whatever, that can run some tests on samples that I've collected and stuff. What about those water testing kits that you can buy at the store? Do you think those would be of any benefit at all?
It would not give you the wide spectrum analysis. I mean, water testing kits usually will give you an idea of the amount of nitrogen, the amount of phosphorus, the amount of potassium. I mean, even like a fish tank testing kit will give you a rough idea. But what it won't tell you is what's not on that list.
Yeah, that's a problem. So we need to find somebody who can actually do this. Like I said,
also, you have to be aware of the pH of soil as well.
Well, and I think the alkaline of the water. If you were ever standing out in the rain these days, I can remember when I was a kid, you could stand out in the rain. It was cool, refreshing. But now it's got almost like an acidic burn to your eyes. You know, when you're standing out in the rain, it's not fun to go out playing rain like it was when you were a kid.
Rainwater is significantly different from tap water. Now, if they've started messing with the atmosphere by pumping all sorts of weird, wonderful chemicals into it, I mean, it's been known for a very, very long period of time by organic gardeners. If you catch rainwater and you water your plants with them, they're going to grow considerably better than if you use tap water, because the rainwater doesn't have high concentrations of chlorine, doesn't have high concentrations of fluoride. And all the rest of it. So, you know, if you need to put an additive into most freshwater fish tanks to basically take out the heavy elements.
Well, and I'm wondering now, now that you say that, I remember I used to have some fish tanks, and there was a specific chemical that we used to keep the alkaline down in that. I'm wondering if it wouldn't be prudent to try to use some of that to treat some water for your plants.
If there's an imbalance in your pH, if there's too many total dissolved solids, TDS, you can get a little TDS meter, which measures electrical conductivity. Basically what it means. You've also got things like the enzymes in the root structure of a plant. Soil is a living entity. It's not dead. It's not dirt. I mean, you have a little bit of dirt that you sweep under your rug and then give your mate a raise like Congressman Bongwater. That's why. But soil itself is a living entity. It's its own bioculture. And when you start messing around with the pH levels, with the amount of total dissolved solids, if there's too much chlorine in it, if there's too much aluminium in it, it's going to cause an imbalance. And if the roots of a plant die, right, it doesn't get any nutrients. It's like putting somebody on a starvation diet. Also, if you start messing with the trace elements as well, generally plants won't take up more than they need. So over-fertilization can be a problem with nitrogen, potassium and phosphate. But the other trace elements are not too bad. I mean, there's things like boron, calcium, zinc, manganese, iron, phosphorus. Oh, I've already done phosphorus. You know, zinc is for the health of the plant. Manganese will get locked out if the pH is too high, especially if there's too much iron. You know, if you have a lot of mature forests, I mean, they do coppicing in Kent where I grew up, mostly because if you don't maintain the forest, it becomes unhealthy.
Yeah, I've seen overgrown problems before. I mean, when I first came out here, this place was really overgrown, and you know, vines will climb up and basically choke out a tree and stuff like that. But what I'm talking about here today it's nothing like none of that. You know, I'm gonna have to go ahead and do a video on this. I almost hesitated to do a video until I did some more research on this deal, because it's a little dramatic. You know, I'm really concerned. I'm worried. You know, I'm not a tree hugger at least I haven't been, but what I'm seeing is seriously alarming. You know, I could understand, you know, a bug or two making the tree sick or something like that, or even, you know, a virus or whatever kills off these trees, and funguses or stuff like that. You know, maybe naturally occurring kind of stuff like that happening every now and then. But this is on a wider scale.
Fungus has a vital role in any woodland area, because when leaves drop, when trees fall, and nothing lives forever, the whole purpose of fungus, bacteria, mushrooms, all of these sort of things, is to basically take the nutrients out of the wood and put it back into the life cycle.
Well,
break it down into its component parts and return it to the soil, so other plants that are growing can take it back up again. But if you're messing around with that, if you're changing the pH balance, and some of the suggestions of what's being sprayed out of whatever's being sprayed is barium sulfide. And now if you're putting sulfur into the atmosphere, that's going to end up on the ground. You raise the pH balance of anything too high. I mean, neutral pH is 7. If you're going for hydroponics, you'll probably want to be around about 5.5, depending on what you're growing. If you're going in soil, anywhere from 6.5 to 7.5, but you probably want to keep it around about 7 or below, slightly below. And I've done probably 4 or 5 years of testing with that. Also, if you over-fertilise your plants, you might find things like chilies. When chilies start growing, the small little stuff that's going to turn into a flower and then eventually into your chili, if you over-fertilise it, they'll drop off. They won't actually, they'll flower, and as soon as something starts growing, it'll wither and it'll drop off.
Yeah, and I've noticed a lot of that going on too. So it's almost as if everything around here has been over-fertilised. You know, and like I said, if it was only one or two trees or something like that, you know, I'd still be concerned, but not as much as what I'm seeing here now, because we've got cherry trees, wild cherry trees and stuff like that, and normally they'll flower, and you know, if you get a late frost, and you know, you could lose your cherries before you ever even get them. But this is a case where all the fruit trees are sick. I mean, you got brown leaves hanging off of what would normally otherwise be a healthy tree, and fruits that won't grow any bigger than the size of a silver dollar, and they're starting to rot before they ever even ripe, you know?
Well, I mean, boron, if you have a boron deficiency, then your shoots will turn grey and die. Oh, they'll appear burnt. You know, lack of calcium in soil basically leads to too much acidity, and it leads to a manganese or iron deficiency as well, and it'll be a very slow and stunted growth. And if they're really messing around in large scale geoengineering projects, I have concerns that they would literally be trying to destroy natural soil. So we have to jump on the bandwagon with people like Monsanto, because they've genetically engineered their plants to be resistant to this sort of toxicity.
Well, and as mad as that sounds, it don't sound so not plausible. It sounds perfectly plausible. I mean, these companies out here do some dirty deeds in order to be able to stay in business and keep power structures going. But, you know, what happens if their plan backfires on them and all the plants end up dying? Of course, you know that. There you go. There's your perfect storm doomsday scenario right there. You know, if we can't grow our own gardens because of crud that they're spraying in the air that's making it down and making the ground, what kind of ways would we have to fight back against this? How can you clean your ground up in order to be able, the only thing I can think about is if you could get yourself a greenhouse started where you could start growing your stuff inside. You know, there's where the hydroponics and the aquaponics and stuff like that would come in handy, is if you could, you know, do something like that. What do you think?
What I'm really concerned about is the fact that they're allegedly using geoengineering techniques to create artificial clouds to reflect sunlight, which is going to change the environment above the soil, but also fracking below it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a power cut, your electricity goes out in an area of fracking, all you got to do is you turn your tap on and set fire to it, and you've got light.
Well, there you go, man. There's another prime example of stupidity, because they can't see under the ground per se, you know, outside of maybe some radar or something like that, you know, whatever, but they can't see where all that cruddy water is going. I mean, it's either going down into the water table, or, you know, all the roots are down under the ground trying to find water sources for the plants to survive. And so, in huge patches, they could literally be poisoning off the trees in all different directions. And, you know, this is something that probably wouldn't be, like, right directly evident, but as time goes on, and more trees keep dropping, and people can't grow nothing anymore, and the land just becomes really toxic, you know.
One thing you have to consider as well, Shaziz, is the claim that hydraulic fracturing of shale deposits are at extreme depths. So therefore, it should not impact on your water table. What's to say that they don't find through their various engineering studies that there's a deposit of shale a lot closer to the surface than they would usually try and exploit? Well, you think they're not going to bother?
And not only that, who's to say that the pressure isn't forcing that up into the higher soil, you know? I mean, what, do they got a perfect drill that doesn't start spraying stuff in until it gets to a certain deal? They got a perfect seal on that? It's just... It's stupidity is what it is, you know. Not to mention you're messing around with things that's going to end up eventually causing man-made earthquakes, which you know, we've seen a lot of that. Even on a small scale, an earthquake, you know, is going to crack something, move something, or whatever. And if you're diverting what would have normally been a good water supply to the plants, taking it off somewhere else, you know it. If you got a swimming pool and you put holes in it, it's not going to hold water anymore, you know?
We have to take into consideration as well, Shaziz, that, you know, water channels do change over time. If you go back 100,000 years ago, there's rivers that don't exist anymore. They're dry riverbeds now. There's oodles and oodles of evidence to indicate that water systems have changed their course repeatedly over the millennia.
Yeah, naturally, that's fine. I mean, I'm sure, you know, nature does what nature does. But, you know, if you're busting holes in water tables and draining out swamps into salt mines and stuff like that, look at all the damage that these companies out there are getting by with. You know, if it had been you or I, the EPA would be all down, breathing down our neck. But because it's a multi-million-dollar company and the government says it's okay for them to do it, then they're getting by with all kinds of damage. We talked about on one of the shows here a while back about the hydraulic pressure underneath people's property, you know. And they're wondering why sinkholes keep popping up everywhere. You know,
it's like the guy sitting on the branch of a tree, on the outside of the branch, with a saw trying to cut it off.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Well,
eventually you're going to get a very rude introduction to Mother Earth, depending on how high you are, accelerating at potentially a very high velocity.
Well, unfortunately, it serves that particular individual right, but the poor guy that's down there minding his own affairs and gets hit with either the dude or the tree as they fall down, you know, this is the problem. These guys are doing this stuff, the government's allowing them to do this stuff, and it's not just affecting them, it's affecting us. You know, it's affecting their families. That's why this is why I can't get my head around why they would do this kind of stuff, is because they've got children too. You know, they've got families.
Shaziz, why did they release a cloud of nuclear radiation over the United States to see what it would do.
Yeah, because they're nuts. They don't care. You know?
Oh, they're perfectly sane. They're just not very nice people, and we can't trust them.
Well, all I can say, man, I've probably been worried about a lot of stuff in my life. You know? And I'm a strong advocate of believing that nature has the capability to clean itself up and nature is in charge. But with that said, you keep throwing nature off balance and nature's going to bite back. And nature's going to bite back with a vengeance. You know, if mankind gets so destructive that nature can't keep up with the mess and basically just starts re-engineering things to take care of business, that means that mankind's got to go.
Well, sure is. It's like fleas on a dog's back. If the fleas bite too hard, then the dog is going to flinch.
Yep, and that's exactly what's happening.
Just considering the processes that they claim the Earth went through in its early stages of development, there isn't really much we can do without actually fracturing the crust of the Earth that is not going to heal over time. But the really important thing to remember is not going to be in our lifetime.
Yeah, and the damage that's being done is being done on such a mass scale that the entire fishbowl, which is where we live, is being polluted, you know. And you know, it's evident. Go down and look at the city. You can see crud over the top. If you stand on a hill looking over a city, you can see the crud and smog over the top of the city. And then you can go out to the country and you can see and smell the difference of the air quality and the water quality and such. And so if you can picture that, what's going on in the city, then the doggone spraying that's going on all over the world, the entire fishbowl is being polluted.
It sure is. It's interesting that you mentioned Los Angeles, because I came across an episode of Battlestar Galactica from 1980 on YouTube. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I grew up watching when I was a kid. And I thought, yeah, I'll have a look. And these two guys from a different solar system arrive in Los Angeles on their really advanced flying motorbike things. And they said, what's all that grey haze around the city? And the other guy said, well, maybe it's a defense shield.
Yeah, there's also, I don't know if that's the same episode, but there was some kids that came with them that were dying, and it turned out that they had drank from this water supply that there was a chemical factory right next to.
Well, those filters cost money, mate. I mean, people don't care. They want the Ferrari in this lifetime. They don't believe in the wheel of life, you know. You go in this cycle of reincarnation, and, you know, if you don't make it in this life, then you'll make it in the next. People want it yesterday. You know, they want their 50,000 square foot house, like your man, what's his name, Bernie Eccleston, bought his 21-year-old daughter for her birthday. 50,000 square feet is bigger than the White House.
Man.
And a guy that goes around the world getting countries to build Formula One tracks so he can bring his show there.
Well, I'm not saying everybody on the planet needs to live in a mud hut, but I'm saying everybody on the planet better get up on to finding out who, why, and what they're spraying in the air. I mean, it needs to be out there on mainstream media. I mean, people need to hold the mainstream media accountable for not reporting and doing investigative journalism on this kind of stuff, because we're not talking about just a small problem here. We're talking about all of humanity. We're talking about things like Fukushima. You know, if the danger is really there, then somebody needs to be on it. We need to be figuring out why all these birds keep dying, why all the fish keep dying, and whales beaching themselves, and all the different wildlife dying off, seals and sea lions and stuff like that. And they, you know, when the food chain starts collapsing, and they wonder why the sharks are shark attacks are up more, because sharks are getting hungry. They can't find the food that they were normally accustomed to. So, hey, next best thing is that dude swimming over there. You know?
Well, in fairness to this, if you saw Al Gore come hurtling towards you in a Zodiac rib, do you think you wouldn't want to try and get out of the water to get away from the lunatic?
Well, I probably would. But if I saw Al Gore getting chewed up by a shark, I'd throw him a life preserver.
No, sharks have got better taste than that, mate.
Yeah, but see, if I threw him a life preserver, at least I could say I tried to help.
Yeah, you could call it a donut, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, snacks for sharks.
Feed him that, Al.
It is a serious consideration as well, because, I mean, I lived in Ireland for a long time, and there have been issues with whales, sharks, pilot whales, killer whales. I mean, the river in County Cork City itself was so polluted that a couple of orcas, you know, Free Willy, the killer whale, there was a pod offshore, and the mother and the father came up the River Lee, because it's a really, really deep estuary that leads into Cork City itself. It's one of the deepest natural harbours in Europe. So you get a lot of big cruise ships, military ships, all that sort of stuff. They can literally sail up, slap bang in the middle of Cork City. And the baby orca died because the water was so polluted. Now, admittedly, in the last 10 years, they have actually cleaned up their act and they stopped flushing all their excrement directly into the river.
Yeah, and there's a
treatment plant.
There's a boundary.
Is for the convenience of cities, they would rather pump effluent directly into the sea than treat it.
There's a foundry right up the street from where I live, an aluminum factory. Alright? I've been out here for almost 15 years, probably maybe slightly longer, but I've been out here for 15 years, and even that factory, being where it's at, and there's a stream that runs down there. I've called them on the carpet for some weird stuff come flushing down the creek. But even with that going on, these trees weren't doing what they're doing now. This is a whole total different deal, or even an addition to what they're doing that is causing the problem.
How long has the factory been there?
It's been there for at least 50 years that I can remember.
Now, what I would question is, are they cutting corners?
Well, that's highly possible, because I have seen other factories, different plastic plants and stuff like that, that wash stuff right down the drain. And when you're washing stuff like antifreeze and oil and degreasers and stuff down the drain, it's got to be going somewhere. So, you know, what they sneak around and flush down the drain during the night time is not what they're flushing down the drain during the daytime. And, you know, the EPA's job would have been to go around and test and make sure whatever's coming out those pipes isn't toxic, you know, and everything disposed of the way properly. But there was a chemical company up here not too far from where I'm at that got shut down, that they were literally dumping stuff down ravines. They were supposed to be what they did was they were getting paid to dispose of it properly, but the volume of what they were getting in was more than what they could actually do properly, and so they had to get rid of it somehow. So they started putting barrels of stuff on people's private land and dumping stuff down ravines and stuff like that. Well, they got caught, and they got seriously fined, and some people got jailed, and the business got closed down.
Here's a nice little footnote of history. You see all these Somalian pirates. Well, after that tsunami in 2004, barrels of toxic waste were being washed up on the beaches of Somalia, and it was killing all the people living there. Now, the first of the Somalian pirates weren't going out to these tankers to hijack them and ransom for money. They were going out to stop the Italian mafia who owns recycling companies in Europe and America from shipping all their toxic waste out and dumping it in the Straits of Somalia.
See, I could understand that. I mean, if somebody's bringing pollution over in my neighborhood, I'd be a little riled up too.
I mean, the whole country has got, what, 30, 40 years of civil war? And what do you do? If you find people that are dumping basically toxic waste in your creek that's running past your property, you go upstream and you say, hang on a second, sunshine.
Yeah, you need to stop that.
Now, eventually what happened is, you know, they realised that they could get money out of ransoming captains of ships. And they said, well, hell with it. You know, if you're going to... Because it was nuclear waste as well. Well, it was everything.
This is something that should be on the mind of everybody out there, man, because isn't anybody ever seen any of the apocalyptic movies out there, doomsday type scenarios, runaway, whatever? This is something that when the trees in your yard are gone, that's it, they're gone. And when you can't grow your own garden, or if you do grow your garden, it's not even safe to eat because of whatever is in the soil.
This is the consequence of soapy liberal policies. You come up with so many rules and regulations and stipulations that you move your factory to China and you palm off your waste on whoever's going to get rid of it for the cheapest price.
Well, that's another thing that really burns my hide, is that, like Mexico, for instance, you know, they go down there and they get cheap labor and they pollute their environments down there, and those people don't get no kind of restitution for what's going on. That's their homeland, and if it's being overrun by drug lords and violence and all that kind of stuff, and people wonder why it is they want to try to make it to America, you know, try to, you know, have a little bit of peace and something, but if you're down there dumping toxic chemicals down in their water, and you're a company, you should be held accountable for that, you know?
Well,
but they're not.
If you get up in the morning and you walk out into your yard, and there's a big industrialist with his mate standing there urinating in your well, you don't say, hey, stop urinating in my well. Go over there and urinate in his instead.
Yeah, he'd be heading on down. He'd be heading on down to the jailhouse is where he'd be heading.
Yeah, but they're not.
That's the problem. The people out here, all the individuals out here, need to really pay attention to their local environments and find out what in the heck is going on. I mean, we know...
If someone's taking a pee in your well, you don't say, go to the next county and do it there instead because I don't want it in my water supply. Well, and that's effectively what they're doing.
Well, the thing about that also is that it's not just your well, because just because you got a well doesn't mean it's not interconnected with the water table and everybody else's well as well.
There's this thing called evaporation. It's part of the natural cycle. It doesn't matter what you do anywhere in the world, eventually everybody's going to get a dose of it.
Well, and if they're spraying over there in your neighborhood, and they're spraying over in my neighborhood, and this stuff is building up in the natural system and being washed down every waterway, eventually it's going to catch up to everybody. And the only way that you're going to be able to eat is if you go, you know, pay the man for his genetically modified trash that's going to make your kids have a third eye on their side of their face or something like that. It's...
The whole concept of genetically engineered seeds is to make you beholden to a private institution for what nature already supplies for nothing.
Well, it makes you kind of question whenever you find out that they got this huge seed bank somewhere stored. Where is that doggone thing at? It's inside of a hill somewhere.
Oh, they've got them in Alaska, they've got them in Antarctica, they've got them in the Arctic, they've got them in Norway, they've got them in Iceland, in Finland, in Greenland, mostly in the colder regions.
So let's say hypothetically, they already know that something's going on, all right? Or maybe they done made it such a mess that they can't fix it, and they're hoping that after they whack off most of the population that they can clean it up and replant everything.
Shaziz, for the European English-speaking listeners, whacking yourself off is, or whacking anybody off is probably not an appropriate term.
Okay, killing people off.
Yeah, that's probably more like.
All right. Well, look, they said depopulating the planet. And right out there on mainstream TV, they'll talk about we need to reduce the population. Yeah, however.
Look at Bill Gates. Bill Gates was given the front page of Time magazine with his article, The Case for Killing Granny. Bill, are you not a pensioner yourself? You know, if we let Granny die and we don't give her that cornea operation because she'll be dead in a few years anyway, and let her spend the last couple of years in blindness, then we can employ 10 more teachers. How great! I mean, we do not need people like that in society because they are insane.
Yeah, it's, what gives them the right anyway to say who lives and who dies? That this whole thing is just, it's so ludicrous that it just makes my brain hurt. I can't understand why people would stand idly by. You know, you got people look up in the sky and they say, oh, those are natural ice crystals whenever they're coming out the airplane. And you got guys that's been watching the sky for all their lives that know that those aren't natural deals going on. And then even when the trees are dying off, oh, it's just natural, it's fungus, you know, this happens, and it goes in cycles, and this and that, and they got all kinds of excuses to completely deny what these companies are actually doing to the world. I mean, all right, we've been told all our life that...
Most organisms have an immune system. Most living things have some sort of defense, because fungus usually only grows on dead material. If you have a weak immune system, you are going to get attacked by viruses, and they are going to multiply to the point where your immune system cannot control them.
Well, and that's what think's going on too. I think these trees are getting sickly, and when they're getting sickly, the nature that normally goes around and cleans it up is starting a bit early. We've been told all our lives since we were kids in school that radiation was bad. All right, and that it was a serious problem, and you didn't want that going on.
But is that why they put thousands of radiation booths in airports all over the planet?
Well, yeah, and all the different nuclear power plants they got all over. All right, well, okay, that we've been told all our lives that radiation's bad. Fukushima's been going on for God knows how long, and you know the stuff's actually down in the water and it was going out into the ocean. And so, one of two things has to be occurring here. Either it isn't as dangerous as they said it was initially, or it is as dangerous as they said it was initially, but they're not doing anything about it. And so, why wouldn't the mainstream media be harping on that like they did the BP oil spill? I mean, the BP oil spill's blatantly in your face. You got the tar balls floating up on the seashores and stuff, you know? So, it's not something you can readily hide. But even that, they threw Corexit in the water, and Corexit's supposed to break down the oil. And so, you know, thinking, wait a second, don't fish have oil in them? No, we got oil in us. And so if that Corexit's breaking down the oil slick, it's got to be breaking down the oil in the fish. All right? And so...
It is. Yeah. The point of Corexit. The oil companies are fined on the size of the oil slick. So if you've got something that will make it drop to the bottom of the ocean, less liability. Now, do you remember the Exxon Valdez disaster? Now, there's very few people alive now that were in the original cleanup crew, because they all died of cancer.
Were they using Corexit back then?
Exit, yeah. What it does is it doesn't really break up the oil, it just makes it sink to the bottom. Now, worst case scenario, oil is bubbling up at the bottom of the sea all the time, and there's natural bacteria that will take care of it. It would have actually been better. It would have been detrimental to wildlife, certainly. But over the longer period, natural bacteria would have broken that oil down and got rid of it eventually. But using Corexit, you're killing off all the bacteria that eat oil.
And you're killing the fish.
Killing the fish, killing everything. I mean, the amount of people that lost their livelihoods in that area, it's insane.
And this, like I said, this should be on the mind of every single living individual out there, because it's the future of humanity we're talking about. You know, we just three or four examples here. You know, the BP oil spill, the Fukushima deal, the chemtrailing going on. I mean, these guys are getting by with literal murder, even genocide. If that's you know, not a strong enough term, there's probably something even stronger out there. They're basically ensuring that humanity is not going to survive at this rate. You know, if you're polluting all the fish, killing off all the bees, and all the birds are dropping out of the sky. Of course, they said that was fireworks. Yeah, right. And the bees.
Fireworks are capable of disrupting the internal organs of 5,000 birds.
They're destroying this planet on an alarming rate. And most people are just too busy with their nose in video games and all the cell phone technology and everything. You know, everything's all good. I can almost understand now why the environmentalists are so totally riled up. I mean, because they're seeing it, you know. I'm almost having a change of heart. I'm almost becoming an environmentalist, man.
Well, in fairness, I don't know exactly what is going on, but there's enough evidence out there pointing towards the fact that whatever's going on needs to stop.
Yeah. It needs to stop. It needs people to go around taking pictures and making videos and making the general public and their neighbors and their friends aware of what's happening, and taking pictures of the skies on normal days and then on days when they chemtrail them, and showing the differences of the clouds, if there is any normal clouds anymore. Because I've watched them do this, man, over farms. All right, farms, huge farms. My father-in-law, he owns over 365 or 8 acres or something like that. He's got a really nice-sized farm, but his neighbors have even larger farms. And that food is making it into the stores. All right, and so if it's polluted with whatever's killing off the doggone trees, it's in you too. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, Shaziz, when I was down in Texas, when I stayed in the hotel, most of the guys that were coming to the bar from, like, all the cowboys, they didn't have a driving license, they had a pilot's license, because they've got millions of acres of land. You couldn't drive across it, you need a plane to get from one end to the other.
Well, I would
I mean,
be really curious.
Masses and masses of land out there, and
I'd be really curious to see how their land is faring during all this stuff right here. You know, okay, we know drought can be a problem. Drought dries stuff up, and too much heat, you know, cause plants to wilt and stuff like that. But what I'm seeing, it looks like literal chemical burns, where you can actually see burn marks right through the leaves themselves.
Well, one of the consequences of over-fertilization is it causes leaf tips to appear yellow or burn.
Well,
because what you've got is an imbalance in the nutrients, and what needs to be taken up is not being taken up because it's locked up in the soil.
Okay, so if they're spraying an overabundance of aluminum into the atmosphere to do their so-called geoengineering or block out the sun or for whatever crazy reason they're doing it, would that not be the same as over-fertilization?
I came across a pamphlet written by the Club of Rome in 1965 that was talking about anions and cations in soil. And aluminium is kind of the positive and negative charge to nutrients. And if you have an overabundance of aluminium in your soil, it will lock up nutrients in a manner the plants cannot absorb. And what they're doing, they're pumping aluminium in the atmosphere.
It's crazy, man. I can't get a grip on it, but I'm telling you what, this world has to literally get a grip on it. Every man, woman, and child out there need to be doing some research and finding out who and why, and hold all this, hold them accountable for it. You know,
aluminium is a weather-worn material. It comes from acid erosion, as I mentioned earlier, about the acid rain. Acid rain is a natural occurrence, but there was the concerns that the overabundance of manufacturing was putting more hydrogen and carbon into the atmosphere, and it was ending up as H2CO3. Now, there are natural levels of H2CO3 in the atmosphere, and this is what turns mountains into sand, into pebbles, into rocks. It's the weathering of the elements. But when you start tipping that balance to from what comes from a stable environment to an unstable environment, then we've got problems. But you don't find high concentrations of aluminium in normal horticultural soil.
Well, there,
unless they're spraying it in the atmosphere.
That's it.
Down over a 15-year period.
That's it. Their answer to the so-called carbon emissions and global warming / climate change / climate disruption and whatever it's going to be next week, their answer to this is to spray more crud in the air. All right? That to me, sounds counterproductive.
I'm not a climate change denier at all. I honestly do believe the climate is changing, and the people that are causing it need to stop. Because it's not an accidental thing. I think it's being done deliberately.
Well, it's not coming from our cars, I'll tell you that. It's coming from the air.
I had a conversation with my brother the other day, and I was saying about, I mean, there's this ongoing argument. There has been no warming of the atmosphere for 15 years. And he said, well, I think I could disagree with that. And I said, so you're going to take sources from the East Anglia Climate Research Institute that were found through their emails to have deliberately lied to maintain their funding. Because if they turn around and said, oh, well, the model that we came up with, the mathematical model, that we don't really have all the parameters to input to anyway, was wrong. So we just falsified the data, because if not, we would have lost our funding and our reputation. You know, we've based our entire education on this principle, and then we found out it was wrong. And we what do you do? Well, if we tell them that our model's wrong, well, they're not going to pay any attention to us.
Well, that's...
Are these the people that you're getting your information from? I mean, look at the Russians. The Russians were kicking off, because when they were submitting their climate data to the IPCC, the scientists were just cherry-picking the warmest temperatures that they could find. And they said, but you're not using the entire data. You're just cherry-picking what suits your model and ignoring the rest of it.
Yeah, there was a video that I watched a little while back here where it was talking about one of the guys for the companies that do the geoengineering weather modification deal. And he's talking about how, we can cover a whole 180 square mile area, you know. If they're spraying above my house, right, and then the wind is carrying it to whichever direction, then that whole 180 miles just kind of went a lot further than, you know, what they originally calculated. They're not throwing in about how far the wind is dragging this stuff. But
I rang the Environmental Protection Agency in the Republic of Ireland. And I said, guys, I need to talk to someone, because I'm really concerned about the current condition of the sky over my house. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, I can play noughts and crosses on the lines that are currently over my roof. They've gone up, down, up, down, up, down, left, right, left, right. You can actually play noughts and crosses. In fact, you know, you could probably play Connect Four.
Yeah, we call that tic-tac-toe. It looked like a tic-tac-toe board up there, you know?
Yeah. And he was saying, I don't see it. And I said, what, do you live in a cave? Are you kidding me? It's everywhere. You can go to America, you can go to Australia, you can go to Europe. You know? What do you mean you don't see it? Do you not look up at the sky?
That's a good question. I'm wondering whether or not any of the politicians out there, any of the congressmen or senators or representatives from any nation actually pay attention to what's going on around them. I wonder if any of their trees are falling over the front yard, and what they do is just go call somebody to take out the old tree and plant a new one, you know. Until it's actually in their face, I don't think that they're even concerned or even knowledgeable about it. And even the average Joe, for that matter, isn't aware of the danger that we're all facing. You know.
Well, I asked the guy. I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "Well, we've no evidence of that." I said, "Okay, so the weather balloons that you send up every single day." You know, these balloons that you send up into the atmosphere to collect samples of air, for air quality, water quality, and all the rest of it. You know, do you sample them for everything, or just very, very specific and selected elements in the atmosphere? And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you say you've no evidence of it. Have you looked?" You're not going to have any evidence of it.
That's the key, man.
That's a no-brainer.
There's eight doctors down in Florida that came up mysteriously committing suicide or dying or whatever that were involved in research to do with autism and cancer. And so, according to the story, is they literally, you're born with the cure to cancer in your body. They just put an inhibitor in there that basically shuts it down. And whether it's done intentionally or unintentionally, it's still, whether in the food section or the agriculture, you know, any of the medicines or whatever, the guys that own these companies, guys, gals, whatever, the people that own these companies are doing things that have long term. Watch the doggone TV for Pete's sake and see if they don't turn around and say, "Well, if you took such and such a drug, you could get money with maybe not even having to go to court." So there's all kinds of class action lawsuits in every single direction, from drugs to products to whatever, that people are suing for. The long-term effects of everything that they're doing out there don't show up till maybe years down the line, and they're getting by with all this, you know.
PCBs, do you remember that?
Yeah,
there was a scandal where an entire town had PCBs pumped into the water supply by a chemical factory.
Yeah,
and what happened? No, they knew exactly what he would do, but they just paid him off. Nobody got arrested, nobody went to prison. It's kind of a bit of a joke where they say that, "Oh, I will believe that a corporation has the same rights as a human when Texas executes one."
Yeah. the corporations get by with literal murder, man. Stephen Gibbons typed in a message in the chat room. He says, "It seems to be more pronounced in the most northern and southern parts of the hemisphere, stopping precipitation coming from the poles, flooding these areas and causing denial of precipitation around the equator. Droughts due to..." So, oh, no, he was saying it to somebody else in the chat room.
So, well, it's nice to know that the chat room's active. You know, people have your conversation, talk to each other, try and work it out.
Yeah, it needs to be active, especially on this this subject and many other subjects. But I would love to see this chat room just hopping with information that people are getting out there, looking in their own backyards and checking their own creeks and waterways, and just reporting to everybody what they're seeing. It's got to stop, people. This stuff has got to stop. We can't keep doing this. You know, nature's tough. But if you pollute your own fishbowl and it takes nature 10 years to clean it up, guess what? You go before nature does. That's it. That's the plain and simple of it. Nature will shake us off like a bad set of fleas if we don't get our act together. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it on my own personal property out here. I'm watching the trees die off. I'm watching tree limbs just fall off as if they just rotted. And I'm watching trees literally drop over, just fall over. Right out of the blue, a tree just falls over. Now you tell me how that happens.
Maybe it was tired.
Yeah, that's it. It's tired of all the craziness. You know, when a tree just up and uproots itself, that means the roots aren't strong anymore. That means something under the ground is killing them roots.
Trees don't lay down for a nap. Not unless there's somebody called a Katrina or a Yolanda, you know, passing through and giving them a bit of, bit of a buzz, you know. Without excessive force, trees live hundreds of years. In certain cases, thousands of years.
A tree at least 5 to 6 feet in diameter out at my father-in-law's house just fell over.
We've oak trees in Kent where I was born that are 800 years old or older. That's almost older than the United Kingdom itself.
Yeah, well,
it's certainly old. It's older than America.
How old is a 5 or 6 foot diameter tree?
Oh, it's difficult to tell because, you know, I mean, I've seen trees in my local park where I grew up that were nearly 10 feet wide.
Well, would you not be concerned if one of them just fell over?
I'd be very concerned. I mean, when you look at a tree, you look at the trunk, then you look at the crown. Now, the root system below the ground is usually as deep and as broad underneath as what you can see above. So if you think of a mirror image, not every tree, but a majority of wide-crowned trees have the width of the root system as well to anchor it in place. Now, if you've got a very tall, thin tree, like a cedar, or a Canadian redwood, I mean, they're massive, massive trees. They've got a drawing power of 200 pounds per square inch to get water to the top of the tree. How many people do you know that can lift 200 pounds on a dead lift?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
But I mean, the amount of power in nature is unbelievable.
What is the solution to this whole mess, man? The only solution that I can see is to people getting a little on the rowdy side and start telling these folks, you got to shut this down. You got to shut it down until you get some hardcore evidence research, years worth of research that says that this isn't happening because of what you're doing. You know, the dumping of Corexit in the deal during the BP oil spill, I said way back then, I mean, that there's a way to go back and trace all my comments. You can see what I've said from the time all that started all the way up till the present time. And I told them, you don't want to put that in the ocean because, number one, it's not just the oil on the top that you're going to be taken care of. You know, it's the oil in the fish, and you're going to cause one heck of a chain reaction. And due to temperature differences in water, you know, heat rises, cold air falls, same thing with water. You're going to have pockets of that stuff that's going to be down in cold air, cold water streams that are going to go in different directions. And every so often when it hits a warm water, those pockets are going to pop right up there, right in the middle of a swarm of fish, and kill them off. So you're going to have mass die-offs all over the place. You know, they're just going to happen so random. You know, oh, it was just nature. We can't figure out what's going on. You know, these birds are liquefied and the fish are liquefied and the jellyfish are turned to mush and the starfish are turned to mush. You know, we can't figure out what's going on. Well, there is
one other thing that we have to take into consideration with mass wildlife die-offs. It's called 1939 to 1945 and 1914 to 1919. Unprecedented levels of manufacturing of toxic and dangerous chemicals. What's to say that over the last 10 or 15 years, the casings of these munitions and armaments that were dumped in the bottom of the sea are finally giving way to bacteria and releasing all these dangerous chemicals?
Well, and that's possible too. Yeah, I mean, it's probable. Yeah, that's something that definitely gonna happen. But here's the worst part of the whole deal. When you got a contaminated fish feeding a bird this corexit or any of these chemicals for that matter, then you got a problem. You know,
there's a reason why Queen Elizabeth has her own organic farms, and no matter where she goes, she takes her own food with her.
So meanwhile, the peasants are running around in the toxic swamp that we call life, and you know, it's past time. I say, there's a guy out there I don't like because he's got such a filthy mouth, it's just crazy. And he's always hollering about Fukushima and stuff like that, but I can understand his frustration at this point right now, because he sees all this stuff going on, and nobody, you know, besides a few people like us out here talking about it, or, you know, or even people out there actually doing something proactive towards it, it's not happening fast enough. And it may be past the point of no return. This may seriously be the beginning of the end of all nature as we know it, you know. And I know that once mankind stops throwing the crud in around, the nature can clean it up. But it's happening at such a crazy rate. Dumping stuff down the creeks is going to kill the fish downstream. Kill the fish downstream, and the wildlife that are accustomed to eating those fish downstream are going to starve. And so on and so forth. It's a domino effect that is blatantly becoming obvious as the trees start falling over. You know? It ceases to be a conspiracy theory when the birds start dropping from the sky.
You know, Shaziz, you know those whole set of Star Trek movies in the 80s? When they came back to Earth in the Time War. They time traveled back and saved whales. I'm sure Al Gore would have been proud of them.
Yeah.
But they walked into a room full of congressmen and lobbyists, and Spock turned around to Kirk and said, "It's life, Jim, but not as we know it."
Yeah. Well,
seriously, I mean,
speaking of congressmen and senators, if you was ever going to write a letter to your congressman and senator, you need to start doing it now. I mean, right now. Pick up a piece of paper and a pen and start writing a letter and showing this letter to your friends. If you're all too lazy to write thousands of letters, get some people to start signing your letter and sending that letter out. Emails, you could bombard your doggone email boxes with your concerns about the deal, pictures of what you've seen on your own property, and get everybody and his brother to doing the same exact thing, to say, look, you got to stop this stuff right now and get some serious research going on, independent research, along with their scientists as well. So you got both sides of the story, but it has to be done. Otherwise, 10 years down the line, there ain't going to be nothing at all.
Shaziz, if I was, I've written to congressmen, I've dealt with local councillors, a whole range of absurd things, but what they fear most is people asking questions.
Well, and that's what they need to fear.
What they fear more than the questions being asked is the evidence that they're presenting with the question.
That's what I'm saying.
If you have a tic-tac-toe pattern over your sky, take a photograph of it, send it to your congressman and say, what is this? If you've got trees falling over, if you've got, like the guy was saying about the arboreal scrublands, where, I mean, you've got hardy plants that have basically grown to survive any conditions that are dying. Go out, take pictures of it, take samples of it, put them into specimen bags, send it off to your congressman, to your local councillor, to your city leaders, whoever, everybody. And say, what is this?
That's right. And, you know, it has to be, don't just do it one time. Do it until you get an answer. I mean, you're going to have to get your neighbors out there, look in their property, see what's going on. And don't just send it to the senators and congressmen. Heck, send it to your local law enforcement as well, because they're supposed to be there.
Send it to your local TV station.
That's it. I was getting ready to say that as well. Send it to the local TV station, to the local law enforcement. I mean, you send it to every single official, even the medias, and you just continue to send it and continue to send it until you get answers. That's the only way. That's the only way you're going to get their attention, when enough people decide to stand up and point it out. Look, okay, you tell me what this is. All right, you send it one of your leaves that got chemical burns on it to them, and send another one to somebody else, and just keep on sending it, and keep on sending it, and keep on. And I mean to harp on it. They say the squeakiest wheel gets the grease. The people of this world need to be the squeakiest wheel. Everybody. I don't care who you are, how little you think you are, or how little you think you can do, you can afford to, if not, buy a stamp and mail it in. Walk it up there and hand deliver it, and ask the congressmen and the senators and the media guys and the gals out there and say, tell me what this is.
Actually, Shaz, we've got a slightly different phrase in Europe. It's called the squeakiest grease gets the bailout.
Well, yeah. And now they got the bail-in where they steal your money to do it. They stole your money via the tax on the other side, but now it's still direct.
Shaz, since the Federal Reserve took over in 1913, you could buy 16 loaves of bread for a dollar then. You can barely buy one now.
Yeah, I was surprised when I went to the grocery store and I looked at the price of bread these days. But look, folks, you think the price of bread now, you're complaining about $2 or $3 for a loaf of bread. It's going to get so doggone bad that you're not going to be able to even get a loaf of bread. Flat out. I'm not a fearmonger. I'm not an alarmist by any means, but I'm not stupid either. I understand that when the trees die off and you can't grow stuff in your gardens, you got a serious problem. Now, right now, at this point in time, we're reliant on the stores. We're reliant on wherever that food is coming from. And if it's happening on my land, and it's happening on my father-in-law's land, who's been he's a historical farmer. He has been farming. Generations before him has been farming the same ground. They have always well maintained that property. And I've seen instances where his ponds have turned red, where they, you know, there's natural cycles where ponds will roll over because of CO2 buildup or whatever. You know, there are incidences where the algae in that pond is so bad that it kills off all the fish. All right, now so now he's got to go restock all them fish when that water clears up again, and the trees. Yeah.
So you're kind of saying that he's been farming since Custer committed genocide on the indigenous population.
Pretty much. And it's not just him; it's his whole entire family. They're all farmers, and his neighbors farmers, and all of them are seeing the same thing. You know, when the trees are dying off, and they're asking. You know, they don't know, they don't understand what's this fungus on the side of this tree. And there's weird growths growing on side of, like, the evergreens and pine trees. And I've never seen it before. I'm almost 50 years old, Steve. I have never seen this kind of damage done to nature before, you know. And the bug population out there is exploding. I mean, you can't even go outside during the daytime without getting attacked by something. And you go out there during the nighttime, it's even worse than that. And you
were worried about black helicopters.
Yeah, I would rather face the black helicopter than all the doggone bugs. I mean, something's going wrong. Something is seriously going wrong with our environment. I'm telling you, everything's out of whack. The seasons are out of whack. The wildlife's out of whack. I seen bees in the wintertime scrounging around on the ground trying to find something to eat. Literally. Honeybees.
Well, so this, in artificial horticulture, you've normally got a relatively sterile environment. If you get things like carrot fly, green fly, aphids, bugs on your tomato plants, on your chili plants, you'll introduce something like ladybirds, yellow ladybirds, red ladybirds. You can buy them in most good horticultural stores. But if there's a lack of birds, because the higher end of the food chain are getting killed off, then there will be an explosion in bugs. Because there's nothing to eat them.
Yeah, there you go. The cycle's out of whack, man. And how far can we go? How far can we go, literally, before it is too far? And I'm almost to the point right now where I'm thinking we've already gone too far. And if there is any hope of giving nature a breather and getting nature back to doing what nature does naturally, then it's going to have to start today, you know. It should have started a couple years back when all this stuff was starting going on. It should have started all the way back to the BP oil spill. There should have been people down there saying, look, I don't care if you got to mop it up with a sponge. You don't put that chemical in that water because you're going to kill off the doggone fish and destroy everybody's livelihood around here, you know.
Well, crop rotation is kind of an ancient technique, but it was really brought into the focus of horticulture and agriculture in the United Kingdom in the 16th century. Well, what happened after that is they started getting into the monocrop culture. Because it's much easier to... I mean, I've worked on farms since I was 11 years old. I'm 43 now. I've worked on farms recently, but, you know, I picked up the interest of horticulture back in 2008, and I've been at it ever since. But the problem with monocrop cultures is there's no hedgerows. There's no natural habitat for birds, for bees, and all the rest of it, because they want to clear out masses and masses of land. Because from my own experience of working on farms, it's considerably easier to have a tractor that will go down the field that's half a mile wide, 1 mile wide, 2-3 miles wide, up and down, up and down, up and down, than it is to have barriers in the way. And you're talking about a hedgerow, which is maybe 6 foot high, maybe 2 foot deep. It's nothing, it's minuscule, but it's a barrier towards profits.
Well, and
we don't need all these 18-inch wheat plants, which are genetically modified, which half of the population of the planet seems to be allergic to. I mean, I'm making spelt loaves, spelt muffins, spelt cakes for a number of people now because they can't tolerate wheat.
Yeah,
there's even doctors that have come out after doing extensive studies and they've called genetically modified wheat the chronic poison.
There's a lot of new diseases coming out with these crazy names. You know, I remember back in the day, people were lactose intolerant. Well, now there's a, you know, intolerance to wheat products and stuff like that. And, you know, you didn't hear about all this kind of stuff back in the day. You know, people didn't have bleeding ulcers because they were trying to eat bread or something like that, you know. It's,
do you know what the insanity of these people that say that they're lactose intolerant are?
No.
What do human beings feed on for the first 2 years of life?
Well, yeah, I understand that.
They're not allergic to milk. They're allergic to the muck and the rubbish that they put in milk.
Well, is humanity stupid? Does humanity have a death wish or what? That's the question, because apparently so. I mean, you can't get enough people to... I'm having trouble communicating with people out in the general public because when you talk to them, their eyes roll back in their head and they just don't understand, as if they have never learned anything about science. They look at you like you're so brilliant and you're just quoting basic science to them, and they should already know this, but they don't. And their attention
span... That must
be
comforting for a dying-the-wool redneck.
Well... However, but look, these guys and gals out here have got absolutely no clue what's coming down the way at them.
Mate, they don't know and they don't want to know, because the acceptance that we don't live in a glorious, wonderful world with a really bright future is not something they've emotionally invested in their lives, ever.
Well, I wish somebody would just come out and tell me that, look, mankind's not going to do anything about any of this kind of stuff. Let's just live for the moment and the party begins and just have a blast the rest of my life and enjoy what I can. But I can't, because I got grandchildren. And whatever they inherit from our generation is what they'll send on into their generation. And it's only going to be a matter of a few generations before there ain't no more generations, because there ain't nothing to eat. You see what I'm saying?
Hearty, dude, this is Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Literally, it's like some sort of scary movie, some scenario that somebody's thought up somewhere in a think tank that paid immense amounts of taxpayers' money to state the obvious.
Well,
it does seem that, you know, unless somebody has basically spent years and years and years regurgitating the same idea over and over again, which is basically common sense, but they have to be part of an established group for anybody to listen to. And when they do listen to them, it's like a novel idea. Oh, let's not put radioactive materials into water where people live because they might die. Let's not put PCBs, which are carcinogenic, into a water supply near where people live because they're going to die. Let's not put detergents, all sorts of chemicals from manufacturing plants into public water supplies because people die.
What?
And then they say, oh, but, you know, in low enough concentrations, it's not really a burden to human health. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's have the 1% live there instead of the 99%. Get them out of their gated compounds with the guys with AR-15 assault rifles protecting them, and get them to go down and go fish in the local river.
Have you noticed how people won't even, they don't even want to touch your hand anymore? You go to the grocery store and they kind of drop your change in your hand because they're afraid you might have germs or something, when in all reality they've probably got more germs off the money they just handed you than touching your hand. Society has become so, what's the word I'm looking for, disassociated or something like that. It's just mind-boggling. But between the disease possibilities, between the chemistry, we're living in a sewer is what's going on. And people look sick. They actually go to the store at night and really pay attention. Or you can go in during the daytime. Just pay attention. People do not look healthy, all right? And so, with that said, if there isn't no depopulation of the planet going on, then it's just a case of everybody just so stupid they ain't taking care of themselves, you know?
Oh, mate, I got to share something with the chat room. I come across an image the other day. It's hilarious. I don't know if I can find it again. Let me have a quick look there at me downloading folder.
Either way, if there's going to be any future hope for humanity, it's going to start at the grassroots level. It's not going to be through any of the doggone leadership of this world, because it's blatantly obvious they don't care. You know, the money's what matters, and whoever's got the money makes the rules, and as long as they can keep on, they don't care if you sue them for wrongful death because your family member died because of some sort of treatment they got that wasn't worth a doggone. They don't care, because they got so much doggone money, that's just a drop in the bucket. You think those corporations aren't insured for millions of dollars? Heck, before you even touch their wallet, you got the insurance man's wallet. And the insurance man passes that cost on back down to you anyway. Plus, whenever you go to pay your attorney, some of those attorneys are working for them anyway. So they're getting back some of their money, even if they never even paid no money into it. The system is messed up, people, and until the average Joe gets fed up with being screwed over by all these companies and corporations and government officials out there, until you actually get so tired of it that you get off your butt and take pictures of damage done to your own personal property and your neighborhoods and your communities and start sending it on masses. I'm talking masses. I'm talking about a flood of information going to the mainstream media's mailbox. They can't ignore that. All right? That's a flood of information going to every government agency's mailbox. They can't ignore that. Until the average Joe decides to get up and start shouting as loud as they can about this deal, it's going to continue on. And when the trees die off, and when the bees and the birds and the fish, guess what? You're next. And for those of you folks out there that say, you know, hey, when the apocalypse shows up, I'll just eat the neighbor guy because, you know, hey... Yeah, it's food. Dude.
I don't I'd like to direct people to the Super Chat, Awake Radio, to the Mad Science. Came across an image the other day from Code Pink. I believe it's sort of a movement in the United States where, you know, it's people basically saying peace takes brains.
Oh my God.
Not the answer. Well, I think that woman has lost the war.
Yeah, against, I'm here to say.
Personal.
I feel bad for her, man. Feel bad for her.
The question is you've bigger priorities than worrying about what everybody else is doing, my love. Seriously, you do. It's admirable that you want to stand up and have your voice counted.
If you can't really take care of yourself, how can you take care of others?
What I find is there's a lot of people out there that feel a lack of control over their own lives. So they get on these massive bandwagon campaigns to try and control everybody else's.
Well, we're not talking about controlling nobody's life here. Well, we're talking about trying to save everybody's life. There's a reason why that lady looks like that. And that food that she's eating is the reason why she's looking like that. Because, I mean, look, come on. Companies like McDonald's out there make a hamburger that you can set on the table and a year later come back and it looks like you just bought it. All right? Something's got to be wrong there.
My first experience of microwave food in America was the Hungry Man meal. And I just remember, I'm a trained chef, I can cook. But I thought, you know, when in Rome, so I went and bought a Hungry Man meal, microwave meal. I was in a hotel, I was kind of a bit tired, I'd been on a 19-hour flight, I'd spent 4 hours driving around Dallas trying to find a hotel. Even the police didn't know where Mockingbird was on Highway 75. And I was kind of getting a bit freaked out at that stage. But, you know, I just remember the tagline on the front of the box, 1 pound of real meat. Well, it didn't tell you what type of meat. It didn't say which animal it came from. It was just 1 pound of meat.
Yeah.
And then you look on the back and it's got all of these chemicals and additives and something about mechanically reclaimed, whatever that is. I mean, I think they actually banned that in Europe for a while. But the question is, if somebody is in such a bad state that they're trying to do something really positive with their lives by saying, come on lads, let's stop shooting each other, we don't need to. You know, some redneck from the Midwest doesn't really want to go halfway across the world and start shooting at farmers and shepherds in Afghanistan for any reason really, but their choices are limited. How many people do you think grow up with the concept that, right, to get on in the world, I need to train myself to kill people and then travel halfway across the world and violently assault people that I've never met, that have never really done anything to me or anybody else, to be honest, because they're shepherds up the side of a mountain. The only time they've ever seen an airplane is when it's going over in the distance.
Well, let's say hypothetically that somewhere in the history of mankind there were more advanced societies than us, and they eventually got to such an extreme that they continued to war with one another, and their technologies got more powerful by the day, and they literally obliterated their entire communities and basically busted everybody back into the Stone Age. And then society started all over again. The same kings and queens in charge throughout all the generations of time, and eventually worked its way back up to the next society that finally failed, and then on down the line until the next society finally failed, and all the way up to the present day where we're at where we're at right now. At what point in time is humanity ever going to become enlightened to the point where they understand that you can't, no peace comes from the end of the barrel of a gun. You can't keep killing each other off and getting results that you're going to want. You can't keep polluting the environment because the environment's going to kill you for doing so. If you ain't got no fresh water to drink, you ain't got no food to eat, and so on and so forth, it's all going to backfire in your face. Now, these folks up there at the top, they got all the money, they can pay you to give them everything that they need to survive in their bunkers for 10, years, maybe even 100 years. All right? You're paying these knuckleheads that are destroying the world to preserve themselves. They got research out there to try to make them live longer while at the same time talking about we need to depopulate the peasants. Do you see something wrong there? What's it going to take?
Well, that's what farmers do every now and again, isn't it? They cull their livestock.
Well, the culling's in the wrong direction. The decent people are being culled, and the creeps of the world, the one up there talking about how we got to depopulate the planet, but they're not talking about themselves or their families. They're pointing at you. There's too many of you on this planet. We got to get rid of some of you. And how they're going to do it? They're going to send you over there to kill the foreigner that would rather be at a barbecue with you than be shooting at you.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of perspective. I mean, if you look at the elites, they went into this whole eugenics policy in the Victorian era, where they'd all intermarry, which they've been doing for hundreds of years anyway, you know, because they wanted to keep the bloodlines pure. It wasn't even so much bloodlines, it was, you know, ransoming your children into your kingdom, your neighbour's court. You know, if there was a king in the country next year, you might send your daughter, your son over to be brought up by them, because then you wouldn't attack them, because if you tried to attack them, then they'd kill your kids. But if these children grew up and then married the king or the queen, then you'd have a larger landmass. So they're kind of long planning. But I mean, is it really true that anybody that hasn't married into their own gene pool and procreated throughout their own gene pool is a lesser person than the rest of this planet? Therefore, those that are not inbred need to be culled. Because that's what it seems to be to me. You know, if you haven't married your cousin, or you haven't married your sister, or you haven't, you know, procreated with your own daughter, then you're somehow less.
Well, all of that, and even that mindset in itself is sickening, man. But look, I can't help
A judgment of the day, by the way. I mean, ethics are kind of dangerous to get into.
I can't help what the global elite are into. They do all kinds of crazy stuff, and whatever they want to worship, I don't. You know, that's that. What they're doing.
You cannot get away from the fact that the leading elites, the royal families of Europe, have inbred over a number of centuries, if not thousands of years. There's no getting away from that. I mean, if that was a batch of puppies, then...
Don't say it.
We'd be gassing them on a Thursday afternoon, because they wanted to go home early on a Friday.
Look, man.
But seriously. I mean, and these are the people that run the world.
Well, it's time for them to stop running the world. It's time for the people to take the power out of the hands of the knuckleheads that are destroying this world. And it's blatantly obvious. They are destroying this world. All you got to do is open your eyes and you can see it. You know?
And you know what? I mean, it can't all be whinging and complaining and saying how crap the world is. There has to be some level of solution there.
Well, the level of solution is everybody starts mailing the doggone evidence to the dang media and forcing them to talk about it. That's it. That's the only solution.
It's even simpler than that. If you want bread, make your own.
Yeah, well, that's all well and good.
Do you know how long a 25-kilo bag of flour will last a family of five?
That's all well and good, Steve, but you got to be able to grow it on your property before you can do that. And if they're polluting the property before you ever even get a chance to get around to learning about a garden, you can't grow nothing. And that's what I'm talking about.
Making our own bread using the developments in technology that are available, i.e., you can buy good quality flour for a reasonable price. The more people that buy it, the more the demand is for it.
Yeah.
The more people that refuse to buy GMO wheat and say, no, I'm not buying that.
And how do you identify the difference? Are they labeled?
According to Obama, no.
Well, see, there's a problem.
you need to be self-reliant. This is what it comes down to. If you're constantly relying on other people to solve your problems for you, then they will, and they'll put solutions in front of you that are not necessarily in your interest.
Yep.
But if you take time, effort, and use your intellect to find out what is safe, what is reasonable, it's scales of economy.
Well, I'm a firm believer.
If enough people demand non-genetically modified wheat, they will grow it.
Well, the picture you put out there in the chat room, that's blatantly obvious. This lady has a chemical imbalance in her body from whatever it was that she ate. No, nobody does that.
Now, in fairness, I need to put an addendum on that. I mean, I could see it was photoshopped, but I thought it might have just been part of the whole buzz thing. But Stephen Gibbon put a picture up there saying, look, this has been photoshopped. There's an original from 2008. And do you know what's worse? That poor lady is in a bad state. And somebody has taken her image and thought, won't it be really clever to put some political propaganda in the background, photoshopping it over? I mean, I could see it's photoshopped the first time I looked at it, but... you know, it's kind of editing. Some people do an editorial on pictures.
Well, either way, Steve, it's still
This is the whole manipulation that goes on. This woman probably has nothing to do with Go Pink. There's just some fat lady in a pink outfit that they've thrown a few signs in the background for. You know, that's even more disturbing than the concept that the woman was actually interested in it.
Well, there's a whole lot of disturbing stuff about that deal. But the point I'm trying to get at, this isn't the first lady that I've seen that's got some heavy problems. All right. Well, there are
in both directions.
in both directions, people that are too thin, people that are too heavy. It's hard to be healthy whenever you're eating trash, and that's essentially what everybody out there is. They're eating trash. We're eating toxic waste from... look at the fluoride, for Pete's sake. Do some research into fluoride, people. Understand what it is that you're drinking. I mean, it says right on the side of the doggone kid's toothpaste, if accidentally ingested, call poison control. Why would it say that? Seriously. And it's going in your kids' mouth. You guys got to wake up. You gals out there got to read the doggone ingredients on there. And before you put it in your children's mouth, you need to understand what it is and where it came from. I mean, if you go out there and pick a tomato off of a vine, you understand that it's a tomato. You know where you got it. You got it off the vine. But if you go to buy it at a store... was it treated with any pesticides? What kind of process did it take to get to your child's plate? All right.
Well, here's one thing you can think on, Shaziz.
That's it?
Yeah, just think. It doesn't have to be about anything in particular. Use your brain and you'll find your own solutions.
That's right. That's it. Think about it. Look at the doggone information out there. And for Pete's sake, get up off the couch. Write some letters and send them to in every direction. Get your family members involved. Have your family members go out and look at their trees and their creeks and streams and ponds and stuff and see what's going on out there. Look up the skies. Take a picture of the tic-tac-toe. Keep asking the questions, and you're going to have to be relentless. You're going to have to do this time after time after time until you finally get an answer. You know, when they get tired of their mailboxes and UPS trucks showing up with tons and tons of mail, and they got to get rid of all that mail eventually, you know, they're going to understand that, look, there's something that the people are not happy about. We need to address this. They'll start talking about it on the media as soon as you start talking about it to everybody and his brother. That's what they do. And if you stop... yeah?
My grandfather, when I was very young, said to me, son, you got a big mouth. If I was you, my best advice is for you to make sure that you can provide yourself with everything you need. Because you ain't going to get far in the world unless you do. And that's, I mean, you've got the cult of personality, the cult of celebrity. They sit there on the daytime TV, they sit there on the evening news, they sit there on the chat shows, telling you what to think, what to be, how to look, what to talk about, what to discuss. But at the end of the day, if I was a celebrity, which I'm not, I'm just some mouthy little git halfway around the world, I would say we have the sum of humanity's knowledge at our fingertips. Find out what works for you.
Yeah.
Don't let other people tell you what you need. Find out what you need yourself.
And instead of being one of those people that go around and mock and ridicule people that look like the lady in that picture right there, then maybe you should be trying to help that lady out to save her life, because she's ticking. Her time's ticking on that kind of health style. You know, you gotta help each other out, because there's going to come a day when the only one you're going to have to rely on is your neighbors, your friends, and your family. This system that we got going on right here, it's falling. It is literally falling. And before it's all said and done, you know, how do they fix it? World War One, World War Two, World War Three. That's how they fix it. That's how they get economies going again. But, you know, this World War Three thing, you ain't going to survive it. I don't care how big your bunker is. I don't care how much you got stored in your bunker. If World War III ever comes about and we have all the doggone nuclear weapons and even modern weapons that we don't even know about being used, you've already seen the damage that they've done just trying to make money off of you. You know, if you're using depleted uranium to shoot at the enemy out there, what's happening to that depleted uranium? I mean, it's in the environment, all right? And after the war stops, there's still going to be a mess. Look at just in the landmine category alone. There are people in third world countries to this very day who go out and risk their life clearing landmines so that little kids won't step on them and blow their legs off.
Now, here's a guy who I heard about growing up. And when I went to Afghanistan in 2007, this guy is a cultural hero to a lot of Afghans. He was a BBC correspondent. His name's Sandy Goal, and he covered a lot of the Afghan war with the Russians. And when he retired from his position as a BBC correspondent, he now speaks fluent Farsi. I mean, this is in 2007, so he may have passed away now, I'm not sure. But he dedicated his time, energy, and effort into providing prosthetic limbs for Afghans that had lost legs, lost arms, had been horribly mutilated by the landmines that were laid there.
This is
crazy,
man.
That is something that people can do.
I go around my own personal property, and I look for things out of place that could be dangerous. Even something as simple as when the kids drops a soda bottle out in the yard or something. Somebody could fall on it and hurt themselves or whatever. I try to make my place as safe as I can for whoever comes to visit, you know. Because I care. And with that said, even though there might be a threat from the outside world, I'm not going around the perimeter of my property planting landmines. Because it might be one of my children going to stand on that doggone thing. It might be one of my neighbor's children going to stand on that thing. But what's going on out here in the world, not only are they planting landmines via Corexit or radioactive waste or chemical waste that they're dumping it in God knows where, but they're spraying it right over the top of your head. And your kids are breathing that in, and people are wondering why they're having all these respiratory symptoms. Why is everybody coming up with allergies that they never had before?
Well, Shaziz, which is more valuable in society? A politician will run away from a burning building to save himself, whereas a fireman will run towards it to save other people.
Well, then we need a lot of firemen. We need people out there taking pictures. Look, they're... You can get a digital camera pretty doggone cheap. And if you own a cell phone, you already have one.
Do you get me point on that?
Yeah.
Who do we need in society? Do we need people that have got a group of people, not just himself, but a group of people, to rush one person out of a burning building whilst pushing everybody else out the way to get him out? Even if they have to stampede over people, threaten them with guns, get out the way, important person coming through. Or do we need more people that are going to run in and save them?
Well,
now, in fairness, not every politician treated like that. And that would be unfair to tar them all with the same brush, but I can guarantee you the majority are. It's a rare politician that would go back in that building to save a child.
Well, then people actually need to find out who these good people are and back them up. That's it. If you got a good media person out there, you need to find them and you need to back them up. You need to talk to them, get to know them, find out what their beliefs are. If they're saying, oh, you're a nut for asking these questions, then that's not the one that you're going to be able to deal with, you know. But either way, you still keep sending them the information. You keep showing them the evidence over and over and over again until they can't. They ain't got no more room in their office to even film a show, let alone, you know, propagandize to you. It's happening, people. This planet is dying. It's dying right before your very eyes.
What do you think your local congressman is going to do if you have a community of 5,000 people that take a photograph every morning of their sky, and they've got that tic-tac-toe pattern, and everybody sends a letter to the congressman's office with a picture of the tic-tac-toe pattern saying, what is going on?
I know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to pay attention, and the reason being is because job security. They want to get reelected. They need the money. They want the job, all right? They want the power. And when people start coming on masses and asking questions, and the same question gets repeated, and the same pictures, and all that information keeps flowing to them, they're going to take note. That's the whole thing. Why do you think there's special interest groups out there to get things done? It's a small minority that lobby these Congress and senators out there, and the more people that talk about a certain subject is the only subjects that they'll look at. Right now, our planet's dying, literally. And I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm not a fearmonger or an alarmist. But whenever I see it from my house to over 100 miles away from my house, and I see chemical burns on plants, I need somebody to tell me that I'm wrong. I need somebody to do some testing on that leaf and telling me, look, this is because of this or whatever. All you got to do is put this out there, natural cure or whatever. I don't care how we do it, but we got to do it, because when these doggone trees die off and you ain't got no food, you ain't got no shade, then you're living out in the desert. And when the whole world becomes a desert and all the fish are gone and the animals are gone, then the people are going to follow. And I ain't eating nobody else. I'm not a cannibal, and I'm not going that route.
It's just enough. I like pork.
Oh, man.
Human, the other white meat.
Seriously, man, come on. We can't let humanity go that direction. We got to seriously do something. And it's going to take, I don't care who you are out there, the littlest guy. I got a picture on the Knights of the Round Table podcast page that has a little squirrel in a little shining suit of armor, and it talks about even the littlest knight can make the difference. And man, if you got access to an email, if you're hearing me right now, if you got access to a piece of paper, or if you can walk down the street and go talk to somebody about it and ask them the questions and keep the questions flowing, get your friends and your neighbors involved, and seriously, because I can go out and talk to people on a one-on-one basis, and I can find you at least 100 people who understand that there's something going on. But by themselves, they don't do nothing, because they don't believe that it's going to make a difference, just like they don't believe their vote makes a difference. Instead of voting at the polls, vote with your information that you're sending to these representatives to let them know that there's thousands and thousands of people out there in their voting district that are asking this question, and they want answers. You're going to have to demand it, and it ain't going to come about you standing in front of the government building with your picket sign. It ain't going to happen like that. They're going to just send the cops over to beat the heck out of you and knock you toothless and throw you in jail. That's the only way they're going to do it. But if you're sending mail to them, send it notarized. Send it certified where they got a sign for it. All right, that's going to get their attention faster than you standing out there on the street corner and making the news. And they'll say, look at all these idiots out there protesting, you know. And then they're going to turn around and point out the fact that while you're protesting, there's trash all over the ground. They're out here protesting the environment, but look at all this trash they just threw around. So they just took away every bit of your fight. Your argument just went down the toilet. You protested for nothing. If you want to protest, pick up a pen, a piece of paper, a pencil, a crayon, or whatever, and write you a letter. Take some pictures. Show them around to all your friends. Have them sign the doggone thing as a witness. Look, get this information flowing in every single direction, every single email box, every single mailbox, hand delivered or whatever it takes to get down to the understanding that they got to address this. Otherwise, the mainstream media is going to look right over it. When's the last time you heard about Fukushima on the mainstream media? You don't. When's the last time you heard about the BP oil spill on mainstream media? You don't. You hear about some racist rebel flag or some sort of actor or actress that got themselves in trouble or some football star or Justin Bieber or whatever. All you're hearing on the mainstream media is pure, unadulterated, propagandized, satanic crap. That's all you're hearing. You're not hearing about your trees falling over. You're not hearing about the bugs on masses. You're not hearing about the fish dying off or the birds falling out of the sky. And when you do, it's always about firecrackers. Dude.
That's kind of farcical, really, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, how stupid do they think people are?
Well, apparently they think you're real stupid.
Fireworks.
I'm almost 50 years old. When I was a kid, we blasted fireworks off like it was World War X. And we had a blast doing it. We didn't have birds falling out of the sky. You know? And there were plenty of birds around.
Well, Einstein, take him or leave him, he had a good point. He said, I don't know what weapons will be used in World War III, but I can pretty much guarantee that World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
And I agree, if indeed there's even anybody left at World War IV, you know, because truthfully, folks, you know, if this is the deal, we're heading towards World War III, and World War IV would be fought with sticks and stones. It'd be a miracle, in my view, that anybody could even survive World War III. But if this is the continuous cycle of humanity, we build ourselves up, blow ourselves up, and then go back to the Stone Age, and then work our way back up, and if this is going to be continuously a repeat, repeat and repeat, you know, in a boat and Pete falls out, who's left? You know, this is never, ever, ever going to get humanity off of this rock into the stars or anything like that. If you believe we can travel in space, we ain't never going to get there. First off, we're going to destroy ourselves before we even get that far. And there ain't never going to be any humanity. There ain't going to be no peace. I don't want this for my children.
I call it shampoo politics.
Shampoo politics?
And I tell you what, and repeat. Yeah, you wince and repeat. You wince because you know there ain't a true word coming out of your mouth, but you keep repeating it.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be done, man. It's going to take every average Joe out there to literally care, all right? Humanity is not going to be saved unless you yourself and everybody and his brother get up and start forcing the questions on them. Force the answers by sending so many doggone emails and pictures to these people that they can't ignore it. Paint it on the side of your car, for Pete's sake. You gotta
the way humanity saves itself is if you want something, be prepared to go out and learn how to do it yourself. Because all the time you can go out and purchase it, that's fine. But when a time comes around when you can't, I'm not talking about creating the new iPhone or a new app for your iPhone or, you know, coming up with a different style of Facebook which isn't quite as intrusive into your privacy as the current one. What I'm talking about is find out how to milk a cow. Find out how to bake a loaf of bread. If you want to drink beer, learn how to brew it.
Well,
and the cost savings are immense. So if they do start retracting the economy, and they do start winding stuff in, the simple little pledges that you've been used to may take a little bit more effort, but you don't have to work 40 hours a week to have a six-pack on a Friday night, because you made it yourself for a tenth of the cost. You know exactly what goes into it. Jump on.
And since we're getting down short of time here, I want to tell everybody that what Steve's just talking about, you know, alternatives to Facebook or whatever, ShazizRadio.com doesn't spy on anybody. I don't want none of your personal information. I don't ask you for anything. And the only chat room that we got, that's a whole total different deal. That, you know, they'll ask you to sign up on their chat room, and I can't vouch for what information. All I know is that it's all I got to work with at the point in time. If somebody out there could write a chat code for me to put that on there, I'll put that on there in a heartbeat. All I'm saying is that this platform that I got here at ShazizRadio.com is a place where you can post pictures on here. If you need a page specifically for you, get in contact with me, and I'll give you a page on there. As long as it's going to be some information that's going to benefit people, teach them how to do something, you can put your own links on there or whatever. This platform is for everybody out there. And Wake Radio and all these other 1800 Online and all the different networks that we're affiliated, they're the same way. Go meet these people. Join up with them. Talk to them. Post your information. Post your pictures. And, you know, I'll do whatever I can to help you spread your information. That's what this whole thing is about. Get that chat room hopping. Get people in there talking to each other. This ain't about me trying to get famous or rich or anything like that. I'm spending a heck of a lot more money on this whole deal than is even coming in from the little Google ads that's going on. I don't care about the money. It's never been about that. It's never been about the numbers or anything like that. It's always been about, I see our world in a mess, and the only way I know how to fix it is to try to bring people to the table. We can talk about it and find the solutions that is necessary to make it happen. I'm getting worried, because it ain't happening fast enough. And
well, sure is. This is Mad Science, the Mad Science Show. And do you know what the maddest science really is? People going out there and trying to fix problems that don't exist, and then holding us accountable for problems that never were.
Well,
that's mad science.
What we got going on here, literally, in this world, is a failure to communicate. This planet's dying, and we're dying with it. And it's
not dying, but it's kind of coughing and gasping like somebody that's been smoking 60 a day and they're in their 90s.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that. I don't say that lightly. When I say the planet's dying, I'm talking about I'm seeing it in my own yard. I'm watching it. If a full-grown, what otherwise would have been a healthy tree just up and falls over, there's a problem. And when the bees are out scrounging around in the wintertime trying to find something to eat,
she says the planet will survive. We might not.
Well, that's the key. I long after man's gone, I believe the planet will clean itself back up. But in the meantime, if you care about humanity, if you care about the future generations, such as your grandchildren and their grandchildren and so on, then the only way you're going to get this resolved, you know, we may never see the fruits of our labors. This may be an instance where by the time that two or three generations pass and they've finally learned because of what you started here today, then humanity has a chance. I mean, I could be selfish and just say, heck with it, you know, let it all fall apart and I just walk away and shut my mouth. That would be the easiest thing to do. But my heart won't want me to do that.
She says, what people need to understand, going back to what I was saying about the guy urinating in the well, you cannot accept that the guy that is standing there urinating in your water supply can turn around to you and give you a piece of paper and you say, do you remember 5 years ago there was a guy that entered a popularity contest and you ticked the box next to his name? He's given me permission to do it, so it's okay.
Well,
that's what it comes down to. That's what legislation is.
But how are they going to fix it?
To pollute is permission to destroy it.
Steve, how are they going to fix it? There's only one way to fix this thing at this point, and that's for awareness.
You take a picture of the guy taking them, peeing your well, and you publish it.
Yeah, exactly.
They can shame these people to a point where they cannot hide anywhere on this surface of this earth.
Follow those chemtrails back to where the planes are. Get pictures of the doggone names on the sides of the companies. Find out who's doing it and put them out there on the public display. And if you already got that information?
There's a website called planefinder.net that will pick up the transponder of any planes in your vicinity anywhere in the world. And it tracks them in real time. So if you see that tic-tac-toe pattern going across your environment, you get on planefinder.net and you find the closest plane to where you are, and you don't say, I saw this plane doing this. What you do is you say, is this plane involved in polluting my atmosphere? You're not making any statements, you're asking questions.
That's it.
Is American Airlines, is Qantas, is Malaysian Airlines, Singaporean Airlines, what is it, Etihad, Dubai Airlines, you know, Ninja Air that flies from Tehran to Afghanistan, Scoot.
I honestly believe that we can have technology and work in harmony with nature. The technology's out there. The way that we produce electricity should be totally different. I mean, you showed a link to me, and I think I posted it. I don't know if I posted it yet in the chat room, but I will. But they're talking about the military using hydrogen to run the ships and stuff like that. When you burn water, you get water. And so with that said, there's all kinds of technologies out there that would reduce the carbon footprint that they keep hollering about. All right, it just needs to be done. The time to talk about it is over. It just needs to be implemented. And if the government and the corporations aren't going to do it, then the only ones left to do it is we, the people. We get together, we build these things, we show each other how to do it, we get it done, and start weaning ourselves off of the dope-infested, polluted sewage that's coming out of the mainstream media, the doggone corrupt governments of the world, and stop supporting the beast that's eating us all alive. These corporations out there don't care about nothing but the bottom line. And if the bottom line requires polluting the waterways of Mexico and China and Taiwan and all that so that they can make more money and sell you a product for 300% or more markup, and you're going to keep buying it, they're going to keep doing it. And eventually, it's going to come back to bite us all. And I believe it's already coming back to bite us all. I believe we're just seeing the birthing pains of the biggest disaster in the history of mankind. At least this version of the history. Who knows how many societies have done it before. But whatever your spiritual beliefs are, whatever your political views are, One thing stands true. You need food to eat. You need fresh water to drink. And at the current rate, you're going to be begging somebody for a bottle of chlorinated water.
Now, Shaziz, let's not be discriminatory. We know for a fact that the Earth is 5,000 years old and dinosaurs were put in the Earth to test our faith.
Well, maybe they're not. Maybe dinosaurs really died off from a meteor from space.
No. I've heard it categorically. It's the absolute God's truth. The Earth is 5,000 years old, and dinosaurs were put in the soil to test our faith.
Well, maybe that's the case. Maybe it's not. It doesn't matter.
Why would I argue with that? I mean,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether a person out there believes or doesn't believe. The fact of the matter is, basic science, and even on whatever, all you've got to do is pay attention. When the bees die, the plants don't get pollinated. When the birds die, the bug population is on the rise. When the trees die off, you ain't got no shade. When you can't grow food in your garden, you ain't got nothing to eat unless you go to the store. And when the store can't get it from the farmer because the farmers have the same problems, then it's up to whatever genetically modified stuff will actually survive the apocalypse that you're going to eat. And whenever it's all done and you can't get no food from the farmers, the grocery stores, or your own property, now you're looking around at each other as if you were a T-bone steak. And how many of you out there is going to sell your soul to the devil to eat your brothers and sisters of this world so that you can survive in a world that ain't even worth living in?
Well, she lives. One of the things that I can categorically state that people should not accept, from my personal perspective, but I would recommend that people absolutely kick off in the biggest way possible, peacefully, is when somebody pitches up at a person's house with a clipboard and accuses them of causing an offence for growing food on their own property. And this has happened in a number of situations and cases. Not just America, all around the world. It's becoming more and more common that people... there was one woman in America that was growing tomatoes in her front garden, and they threatened to imprison her because of it. Because it broke residents' association laws. Because she had a tomato plant in her front garden.
I wanted to tell you something.
That's insane.
The other day, as I was driving back from my father-in-law's house with my sample of the leaf with the burn marks in it, as I was driving down the road, I'm looking around at me. I'm looking around at everything. I'm looking at the farmlands, and I'm looking at the waterways on the way by, and I'm just looking at people on the side of the road. And I come across a little small town on the way through on my journey, and there was a kid outside with his little brother or whatever that was playing football, and he was practicing running back and forth with the football.
I thought you were going to say sitting in a rocking chair.
No, listen to me. The kid was out there playing football, and he was running back and forth. And so in his world, football's everything, man. The football, you know, one day maybe he's got the dream of being on the NFL or something like that and making a career out of football. But either way, these kids, when they're growing up, they don't see the world as you see it. They're seeing the world as their hopes and their dreams and aspirations, that what they want to do with their life, what their interests are and stuff. And I felt so bad for that kid running back and forth playing football, not just because he was ignorant to what's going on around him out there in the world, but because his future stinks. It flat out stinks. One day, something in this world's going to affect him in such a way that he might be the next one out there on a radio show trying to figure out what the heck to do about all this kind of stuff. And this kid was probably about 12, 13 years old, you know? And right now is in a world where maybe he's happy with things. He might have little family issues going on where dad and mom's arguing or something like that, whatever the story may be. But the fact of the matter is, his future is reliant on those that are willing to open up their mouth and do something about what's going on in this world. Because after it's all said and done, the economy collapses, his world changes. The food chain collapses, his world changes. World War III starts, his world changes. And even if it ain't World War III and it's just some other war going on over there in some sort of small nation or whatever, when he turns 18, his world changes. You know? He's going to be going over there to kill some other man, and somebody's going to tell him he's doing his patriotic duty.
Well, Chaziz, every generation seems to have to struggle and fight not to gain their freedom, but to maintain it.
Well, Thomas Jefferson said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And
the tree of liberty sometimes needs to be watered with the blood of tyrants.
You know, I don't advocate violence,
Well, I don't think that was quite the point.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I agree.
If these people are starting to kick off, throw them under the bus.
These guys and gals out there in charge of supposedly protecting us, the EPA and the Food and Drug Administration, they're not doing a good job of it. When corporations can literally get by with murder for suppressing technologies that could be beneficial to health out there, you know, we got a problem. They used to sign a Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, and all they would do is what they knew would help you out. And nowadays it's radioactive therapies they use to bust your immune system and kill off the cancer cells. If there's a better way, it should come to light. But, you know, hey, the whole depopulation thing, you know, it's just a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theory. And now we're looking for copper foil so we can have shiny hats better than the aluminum.
Well, in fairness to this, if hospitals were so great, they wouldn't need a morgue.
Yeah. Well, there's money. There's money in it all. There's money from birth to grave, man. When you get born, there's money being made. When you die, there's money being made. And all the way through your life, there's money being made. And you're being used as cattle and cannon fire and slaves or whatever. And somebody's getting filthy, stinking rich. They're living high on the hog while polluting the water that you drink. There's a problem.
Well, here's another solution. They reckon that with the transaction fees on a system like Bitcoin, where you can transfer either $1 or $1 million equivalent of Bitcoin anywhere in the world in an incredibly short period of time to the equivalent of 1 cent, it would save globally $200 billion in transaction fees.
Well, there's a solution, man. Look, we're down to the wire now. My last statement for people out there is, look, it's you. You personally, you got to get up, you got to take pictures, go around and look at your trees and see what doesn't look right, take a picture of it, ask the questions, and keep asking the question until you get an answer. Do not stop until you get an answer. That's the only way to do it. And you tell your neighbors and your friends and you say, look, this is my concern. Tell me where I'm wrong. And talk to them. Open a dialogue with your moms and your dads and your kids and everybody out there. Because if you don't, the future of humanity is gone. I honestly believe we don't have maximum 10 years before this entire system that we call planet Earth just falls apart. Mother Nature, whatever you want to call it, the natural cycles, something ain't right. Whether it's coming from outer space or whether it's coming from inner space or whether it's coming from man-made or whatever is neither here nor there. The problem needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed now. Otherwise, it's down to, what was that you said, people? The new white meat?
Yeah. It's going to be halfway up the mountainside after, what was it? That you had a plane crash where people crashed on the side of a mountain.
Yeah, and they got so desperate to save themselves, they resorted to cannibalism.
Yeah, Alive, I think the film was called.
Folks, let's not let our world go down that sickening hole. Just the thought of that makes me churn my stomach churn. Look, we can fix this if we get on it. But if we don't never get on it, it don't never get fixed. We got to get the information flowing in. And I mean force the mainstream media to talk about it. Force a dialogue open on the radios. All I hear when I kick on talk radios is about the next election or the doggone celebrity that got themselves in trouble with drugs or whatever. All I hear is about the rebel flag or the racist this or racist that. The people getting shot. You know what? People are getting shot. People are getting poisoned. People are dying in all different directions for all different reasons, and some of which are curable. And we got to do it.
Here's this. If all the trees die, where are you going to get your applesauce to go with your white meat?
Yep, there you go, man. Look, everybody, you got anything brilliant left to say, man? We're down in a couple minutes here.
don't think I've ever had anything brilliant to say, so I say au revoir.
Yeah. All right, people. That's it. That's my plea to the world. I'm going to post this up on the Shaziz Mad Science chat podcast page, and I'm going to post it on the Auto DJ for somebody who missed this show. Let somebody else hear the show. If you guys care, if anybody out there cares, try to pass this information. I don't care if it's this network or the next network or whichever network out there that you believe is truthfully trying to get something resolved. Do whatever it takes. Don't underestimate the power of your own spoken word and the power of your own pen and the power of your own actions. Do something. If you do something, then at least something gets done. But if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. And we ain't got time to play around. These folks are insane. They're killing our planet. They're polluting the fishbowl. And guess what? You're in it. And if you care about humanity or even just your family alone, this is important. Pass this information on. Share it on all the doggone Facebooks or NSA or FBI or all the CIA social networks, spy networks out there, and let them know that you're talking about it. Post it on every bulletin board, every email, or whatever. If there was ever any important thing to do in the history of time right now, it's to try to head off a disaster that is heading towards humanity. These folks out here running these huge military drills. Why? That's another story for another show. Join us on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, and let's talk about it. Let's get some solutions out there on the table. I can't come to everybody's house and I can't do everything. I can't build everything, but together, all of us can get the ball rolling. All of us can get the solutions out there that need to be done to fix this world. And if we don't do it now, then God forbid whoever has to come after us tries to do it then. With that said, you've been listening to Mad Science Show. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.